The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audioboo, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Tonight's episode of the Shining Wizards Podcast is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, your one-stop shop for all your podcasting needs, including Neckbreaker, bringing you the latest in heavy metal and professional wrestling headlines. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, taking you from the current to the way back with wrestling's past as well as its future. The Midnight Jewelry, bringing you back to the 80s and 90s with horror movies, pop culture, and of course, professional wrestling. Two and a Half Wrestlers, two guys that are in professional wrestling and one guy that used to be, bringing you the ins and outs of the professional wrestling independent scene. Apex Radio from Canada, bringing you the latest news and information on the professional wrestling scene from north of the border. Pro Wrestling 101 from 20-year veteran Justin Credible, bringing you information on how to make it in the world of professional wrestling. The Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular with the Wolfman Jack Foley, bringing you funk music and wrestling news. And of course, the Fallen Angel Triplets, Dante Kanzer and Krim Gideon, bringing you the latest on their travels around the independent wrestling scene. All this and more as part of the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where, of course, it's entertainment here.
Sorry. This is Pro Wrestling Syndicate's Dave Destruction. You are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a whiz-bang humdinger edition of the Shining Wizards Podcast. I forgot where I was for a minute, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Oh, Jesus Christ, who am I tonight? Oh, I think I know who I am. I am...
Podcast cancer.
Yes.
Absolutely podcast cancer.
I'm podcast cancer.
I am podcast diabetes.
I'm overweight Larry.
I'm podcast gonorrhea.
And work part-time at a hospital. I see four future body bags here.
That is Ref Hansen on the couch.
Well, real quick, can we curse on here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right. Let's get into it.
Yes, sir. Wearing the new Extra Guys shirt.
That's right. For $15.99 or $29, whatever it is, Humps are selling it for. You can get one yourself or just, you know, steal it out of my bag. But last night, I understand Tito Santana and Kevin Knight were here?
They were on the phone.
Oh, they're on the phone. So I have to follow a Hall of Famer like Kevin Knight. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't.
Yeah, I know. Tough shoes to fill, but I think you got it covered. I think you can do this.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
You look good, man.
I look great.
You lost some weight there, sir.
Lost a lot. 40 pounds.
40 Woo-wee. Pounds.
I lost an indie valet. All right. Exactly. Fifth ring post.
Looking sexy.
Wow.
I look good. Trying to get a job with the big 1.5.
There it is.
And I don't say that as a knock on them, but people like to say the big two. TNA's right. Not one of the big two. You ever hear of legend Mick Foley, Kevin Nash, and these guys that worked in TNA? Do they ever put it over?
Never.
They always
never.
Say, oh, I walk through the airports and people say, hey, man, where you been the last 5 years? How about one of these guys puts TNA and Impact over?
Hulk Hogan said the same thing on Opie and Anthony a couple days ago.
Because they don't care. They're cashing a check. Dixie's got her head in the sand.
That's it.
And it's a shame because she's not an idiot. She's not. She just doesn't get it.
She's just a mark for herself, dude. She loves being on TV. And
well, get your Dixieland shirt, TNAshop.com.
Love to get me some Dixieland.
I legit have one. And no, you can't borrow it.
So jealous. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, the big 1.5. It's funny because when we had Rob Van Dam on, he said the same thing. people ask him where he's been the last couple of years. He's like, I've been wrestling in TNA. No one knows.
They think it's like a porno group.
But they never put their own people over. It doesn't make any sense. And they got people who can go. But they say, they should bring back the six-sided ring, and they should. It doesn't
fuck
matter
that.
What they do.
No, fuck that ring.
It doesn't. First of all, I like the six-sided ring.
You?
I get the ref.
Oh, God.
I like it because it's
confusing.
Because it's different. You like it.
It's different, but it stood out. They went back to the four rings.
You know what they should have done? They should have did no holds barred, eight-sided ring. It would have been easier to run the ropes.
Yeah, and then they could have signed Zeus. Zeus could have got a payday out of it. Hogan would have hooked another one of his buddies up.
Yo, Debo, where you been for the past 5 years?
Is he out of jail yet?
Probably not.
Oh, I think Zeus went to jail?
Oh, yeah.
A tax evasion or something?
No, I think it was like real estate fraud.
Something fraud.
Could you imagine that?
Only one of the boys could go to freaking jail for that.
Exactly. Exactly.
But who's fucking with Zeus in jail, though? Let's be honest.
No one's fucking with Zeus.
Probably OJ.
I love his name's Tiny. OJ. OJ, there's no bigger mourn. He kills two people and gets away with it. First of all, I don't agree with it, but come on, man.
Should have disappeared.
$40,000 a month.
He should be, but he should have disappeared.
But the balls on this guy.
We should have never heard of Orenthal James Simpson ever again.
I ran for 2,000 yards in a season. I could go get my shit back.
Should have went to work for TNA.
He should have went to TNA. He'd be making more money.
And nobody would know where he was.
No one would have any clue. He lost a civil suit, but he wouldn't have got.
If you're on the lam, you go to TNA.
He could have made an impact.
Oh, boo.
That's awesome.
Austin Aries said the same thing a couple weeks ago.
What, that O.J. Simpson could make an impact?
No, but the people, you just, like, you kind of disappear. Like, he was the world champion, and then Rob Van Dam came in, and it was goodbye Austin Aries.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Austin Aries, at the end of the day, is 5'8".
Look,
I like Austin Aries. I worked with him a lot. If he saw me now, he'd probably kayfabe me. You know, even though we worked together in Ring of Honor, and he was very humble when he saw me. There's no heated hatred there, but I had to squint. I would spread my legs. If you ever watch me ref, I spread my legs like an upside down V to make the guy look bigger. And I always had to do that with Austin. That's not, and it pains me to say it, but you can't have that be your world champ. You just can't.
Yeah, but he was really hot at the time.
But he's sitting in a bar. You walk in there, are you going to notice him? You have no.
Well, people could say the same thing for CM Punk.
And that's exactly my point.
We're going to get there, though. We're going to get to CM Punk.
Are we going to get to the best in the world?
Yeah, we're going to get to the best in the world. Your best friend in the world. We're
better
get
than
there.
You.
We're going
to
get there.
You said best in the world. We're going to talk about Kenny Omega?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Trumparetta.
No, I think Kenny Omega's better.
Meta.
Well, right now you got the best ref in the world.
Yes, so we do.
Of course.
The whole ref and show?
I like Kenny Omega's hair, by the way. It makes me hungry for ramen noodles. I don't know if that...
Okay. I think anyone that can wrestle a 9-year-old for 15 minutes and make it entertaining...
Yeah, and by the way, thank you for bringing that up. I watched that on YouTube, and I know we'll get into it, but we're not telling people it's real. They're telling us it's fake, and then Vince came out and said it's entertainment. But it doesn't matter. They don't want to see it's fake when they're watching it.
Yeah.
And when Kenny Omega has a 15 match with a 9, I watched it and I was entertained, but I watched it and I'm like, wow, ladies and gentlemen, what we do is fake. What we do is fake. Just put up a sign, this shit's fake.
It's the same shit with like the $5 wrestling. Like, it's like, how many times can you see like Freight Train or any of those guys, you know?
Choo-choo time!
Don't get me wrong, same thing. I love me some Freight Train, but after a while, it's like, okay.
But at the end of the day, and this is something I want to say about Scott Hall, about Kevin Nash, and about the most angry millionaire in the world, Bret the Hitman Hart. All these guys do is go and do all these YouTubes and the podcasts and the shoot interviews. I'm performing in the ring as a ref. The guy sitting in the front row knows just as much as I do because all these guys tell all their stories and they air all their dirty laundry out and they give away all the secrets. People know Copperfield's act is magic and it's stage, it's a work. But you don't see him on YouTube. And then when I pull the cup out and the ball's in my fucking asshole, you don't see any of that. You don't hear that.
I never quite thought about that.
And all respect in the world, I think Scott Hall, legitimately, we were talking about him before, is literally the most underrated wrestler of all time.
He's such a mind, too. Like
he's,
him.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. And people say Shawn Michaels is the best wrestler in the clique, and it's hard to argue that. I don't think he is. I would put Scott Hall number one. And I'm not saying something. Shawn Michaels is ridiculous. Okay, he's, you know. But for 2 years, he wrestled Razor and he wrestled Diesel. And when Bret Hart was wrestling Isaac Yankem and Hakushi and Jean-Pierre Lafitte and all these other guys. So I didn't see Shawn be as round as everybody else. But Scott Hall, side by side with Kurt Hennig when he was tag teaming in AWA. You know, so he's got Kurt. He's Kurt Hennig Jr. And you listen to Scott Hall now, he gives all the credit to Kurt Hennig.
Still to this day.
To this day.
Yeah.
But Scott Hall, you can see, I think he was the driver in the clique. That's my opinion.
I don't know. Definitely.
Hopefully he wasn't drinking.
You know,
a boo.
Him hammered is still better than 10 guys sober.
That's true.
It's just, it's
that's fat. True. He was one of the best.
But all these guys that give these shoots away and so all this stuff on YouTube, it makes me sick. And I hate watching a WWE DVD. First of all, I love it because we all love it. We're all here because we like something different. Pro wrestling's unlike anything else.
Yeah.
Football's like baseball and basketball. You could compare any sports. You could compare any entertainment. You can't compare pro wrestling to anything. You can't compare it to roller derby. You can't compare it to anything. I would never know who Homicide and Balls Mahoney are if we all didn't love pro wrestling.
That's
true. I wouldn't bump into Balls Mahoney at the Pathmark. Hanson, don't eat the fries at Railway Rec Center.
Remember when he threw up in the ring?
Guys,
oh my
don't
God,
eat the fries.
We were there for that show.
Yeah, we were there.
Guys, don't eat the fries. Yeah, not the 380s he took down in it with something else. It was the French fries at the Railway Rec Center that gave him the indigestion.
That's but funny.
That's so different that pro wrestling is. It's completely different than anything else.
It is.
And that's why we're all sitting here right now. And that's why you're wearing a Chris Payne shirt and I'm wearing an Extra Guy shirt, purple and green and pink. And we walk around in public like this.
Of course we do. Yeah, of course we do.
I'm trying to think back. Who do you think started the shoots? Who was one of the first?
Jim Cornette?
I'm sure Rob Finkelstein will take credit for it. That turd. Do me a favor. Spike your hair a little higher, jerk off. Who did start the shoot?
I'm trying to think, like, the first shoot I ever
saw. Dave Schultz.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I don't
smacking a reporter around.
And I think all of us here. I'm 32. I don't care. It's about the same age. We're all around the same age.
Right there,
give or take.
I think we grew up in the best.
A lot more give.
I say. Yeah, I think we grew up in the best. We're kids during Hulkamania. We're adolescent smartasses during the Attitude Era, and then we're adults for what it is today.
The mess.
And I'm not saying. And. I'm sure you're going to ask me, do I watch Raw, SmackDown, and Impact?
Do you watch Raw and SmackDown
and Impact?
I only watch Impact.
That's
I'll DVR it and maybe watch something or maybe YouTube it or network it, but I don't make it a point to go run and watch it to the TV. And it's not because I'm in it and I know some of these guys and I don't want to see some of these guys. I want to see some of these guys. It doesn't pull you in anymore. The spice is gone. I think the last great match, and there's been great matches since, but I think the apex was Rock Hogan, WrestleMania.
That was the last huge match, I think.
And it didn't even main event.
It didn't main event. If you go back in time, Triple H says it should have been.
It should have. Yeah.
And now he changed his story around.
Asking Chris Jericho
DVD.
And Triple H to follow that, would he out of your balls?
And Jericho is Jericho and Triple H, but you're not. Yeah. It's impossible.
Impossible.
Well, Triple H will have a chance to main event this year again.
Yeah, now what's the deal? Daniel Bryan are wrestling each other, and
the winner.
It's kind of like, winner goes on. Winner joins the match. Between Randy Voices
Randy Orton and Batista.
Bautista.
All I know is, man, that cat is money. I don't care what anyone says about it.
Yeah, but what's with the skinny jeans? He's like 300 pounds
wearing
skinny
jeans.
He split them on Raw.
Well, is he packing? Is he like 6 inches walking out of the lake? I'm just,
That'd be pretty impressive.
You know, I don't mind a heel Batista.
I don't mind Batista
at all.
I don't
mind him at all.
Batista is a presence, and he looks like a wrestler.
Yeah.
You could put him in the main event, and people, all these smart marks on the internet could say whatever they want. Well, it's weird us doing this. Right?
Yeah,
I'm the one saying it. But that's just, you know what? He looks like money, and little kids like him. So guess what? Vince still thinks it's a big man sport.
It is. It is larger than life. You got to be larger than life.
Yes.
And there's no one, anyone who worked in my level. And I hate the guy that says, I started with Daniel Bryan. No, I didn't start with Daniel Bryan. I was lucky enough to be on the Independence when he was on the Independence. And there's nobody, two guys, him and AJ Styles, that deserve everything. They deserve nothing bad. They deserve everything good.
Right.
And that's not me kissing any ass. They are just the two greatest. First of all, Daniel Bryan is the driest sense of humor, hilarious guy you'll ever meet. Just like Christian, just like I'm sure Owen was. He deserves it all. Deserves it all. Another guy who's small but wrestles like he could wrestle like he's big. You believe that he could take it from Randy Orton and Batista.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah.
You know.
Unlike say a Mysterio.
I was just going to say that. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah,
big
Thank
difference.
You, Kevin.
Yeah.
But no, Mysterio works and then does all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mysterio's from a different school.
Yeah, but
I understand what you're saying, but Mysterio is in this... He's in a select group.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I definitely.
But
do.
He's like 5'5", and he's like beat to hell.
But you know what? He'll outrun you. Then he'll take your knee out, and then that's when he gets like an advantage on you. And then that's when you can say, okay, I can kind of believe this now. He took out my legs. How am I going to move?
What, well, the kids want to wear the masks too. Yeah,
that's the big thing. That's the big thing.
And I love little things about Vince McMahon. Why he's Jim Brown. I love when, switching gears of pro football for a second, everyone's like, who's the greatest running back of all time? Well, it's Jim Brown, and you can talk about anybody else you want to, but it's really Jim Brown. The people that say, who's the greatest mind in wrestling history? You know it's Vince, and number two so far from number one, it's ridiculous. Vince takes Rey Mysterio, who's a star in WCW Mexico, puts in the contacts, takes off Junior.
Puts the mask back on.
Puts the mask back on, so it's Vince's creation. That's just a little shit about Vince McMahon, why he's Vince McMahon.
Now, what do you think about the whole Daniel Bryan situation? Do you think that, because a lot of us think
they
that it
elaborate.
Wasn't.
What do you mean?
Not pushing him and then pushing him.
You
not
know why?
Fans.
Because all these idiots out there whining on the internet. What are they going to watch April 6th?
WrestleMania.
Well, and who's got a chance to win the belt?
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to say that now because WrestleMania is, for all intents and purposes, only costing people $10 as opposed to $60.
Right, but it does.
So it becomes more of a no-brainer at this point.
Now,
you know?
But every fan on the planet is going to watch WrestleMania.
Now, you just said that Vince McMahon's the greatest mind of all time, and like you said, it's almost impossible to argue that. Do you think in the back of his head he knew the entire time he was going to put Daniel Bryan
absolutely.
In this match?
Why would he win the belt? Why would he win the Royal Rumble when you know he's going to go to WrestleMania? Why wouldn't people ended watching the Royal Rumble? Because the problem is everybody's a booker now. Everybody, and it's another thing I love, these DVDs, how would you book so-and-so?
Right.
How to be a booker. In the ring with blah, blah, blah. In the ring, you know, I'm tired of everybody. You talked to a fan a long time ago. Man, I think wrestler A is going to kill wrestler B. I'd love to see it. Now they're like, they're using wrestler A wrong. I hear that. It makes me want to throw up, slip my wrists.
Don't
makes me want to hang from a, makes me want
to
hang from a Bolo Flex machine.
Don't follow Eddie on Facebook.
No, first of all, I know him, so it's a little different. Yeah. But all five of us do it. But the bottom line is, years ago, I wouldn't do it, and I've been on this expedition for 15 years. And I don't say I've been in the wrestling business for 15 years. I say I've been on this. I've been around it for 15 years.
On the journey.
I've been in the expedition because I haven't been doing it for. If I went up to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and said, I've been doing this for 15 years, he'd laugh. He's such a nice guy. He wouldn't laugh in my face. But back then, they would wrestle 7 times a week, sometimes 8. We do 4 times a
they
month.
They did it for like 30 years in 15 years.
Exactly. Now, wrestling has changed where you can't do that anymore. And when Vince became just, when it was WWE and nothing else, the territories would come back. No, Johnson. Those days long gone. Too much technology, and everyone knows all the tricks.
That's true.
And Daniel Bryan, I think he's going to win and get the belt at Mania. I think it's...
A lot of people want Triple H to win, man.
Why?
That's all they've been crying about. How cool would it be if Triple H won the titles? How awesome would that
Who
be?
Who says that?
Those are people that miss,
Jay
like,
Silva.
Attitude era days.
Well, now if we're talking about someone as brilliant as Jay Silva, then we got to set that table down. I mean, one thing I loved about Jay Silva during his wrestling career, everything he'd done might have looked like the shits, but at least it was stiff. You know what I mean? That's what
Jay Silva's the man.
He's the best wrestler that lives in his own house.
I would like to see Triple H win just to watch the internet explode.
We talked about this last night, how the internet might die.
But do you know what the greatest thing is? If Daniel Bryan wins, everyone's going to love it. And if Triple H wins, what's Vince McMahon going to do? Everyone's going to bitch about my product that
they paid for,
and
they're going to watch it Monday.
Now, most... All the fans will watch on Monday. Guys like us probably won't watch the Raw.
I'll watch
it. We just don't... I mean, we'll watch it, but it's not... During the Attitude Era, you knew the beginning... The middle and the end of every Raw was going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. And every one of us watched every single
and
Raw.
And you never knew what was going to happen.
No clue.
But if there's one Raw you're going to watch, it's going to be the one after Mania.
Yeah.
But what I loved about last year, and I didn't watch it till afterwards, listening to the crowd. New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
But a guy said it to me. I'm going to take the credit for it. I'm going to steal it. That Raw crowd was just, I think, having fun with themselves. Because
I was there.
Mania was so brutal that they're like, let's just on this show.
Eddie and I left before the main event.
Yeah.
And this is coming out of my mouth. The best match is Punk and Undertaker.
Yeah.
And, and I'm not crapping on any of those guys. I just didn't. None of those matches pulled me in. And Shield against Big Show and Sheamus and Randy.
That was a solid match.
It was solid, but I'm like, it's not
something you'd see on Raw every Monday, though.
Right? There's nothing special about it. And I'll say this: I want this document. I think the Shield is, and they're breaking up because Roman Reigns is ready now.
I don't think they are right now.
Well, maybe not. But
you're right.
Roman Reigns is a budding star.
It's coming.
And no, I didn't work with Dean Ambrose when he was on the Indies. I met him once. It was a CCW after Acid Fest. I was hammered. I said hello. I don't remember if he said hello back. But he's a good guy. But Roman Reigns is a star. That the Shield, I think, is the best thing WWE's had in years.
Oh,
it's just so unique. Their entrance, their promos, and I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, and they're all different.
All different.
But they come together perfectly.
And they look like badasses.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not like the generic cookie-cutter guys that come out of developmental.
Everyone's got tights and this, and they're oiled up, and they got this one tattoo over here, and they do this inverted modified thing. You know that guy I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called the roster.
Yes. Hey, you know that one guy we're talking about? Yeah, it's all of them.
It's all of them.
You know what's cool right now? If I crapped on somebody right now, and I'm sure I will in the next... How many more minutes we got left over there, Mets hat?
Oh, as long as you want.
As much time beautiful. As you want there.
First of all, I didn't even get open. My five-hour energy drink didn't even kick in yet. But I'm going to sit
scary.
Here...
That's scary. That's frightening.
I'm eventually going to shit on somebody, like Fat Tit Gino Caruso. But
That's fine.
At some point, like I'm going to shit on somebody. Everyone watch that... epic CM Punk promo on Raw, right, where he airs his grievances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What people don't get is if he did that on RF's couch, he'd be looked at as bitter. You know, but he did it on TV, so it was epic, and it was fantastic. And I think Punk is different, and I legit think Punk is kind of actually good for wrestling in a way, and that's this is me talking.
Yeah.
But people got to memorize it, realize that he did that on TV. So he's not a shooter. You know what I mean? There's guys that the fans got to believe that, but there's people on the inside that believe he's a shooter. And I'm just sitting here with my chin in my hand like, that motherfucker? Him? Really? Woo! Any questions?
Not a shooter. So you have history with CM Punk back in Ring of Honor.
I do, and I like to think I'm the only one that says what he was really like. You know, I mean, it's just fact. First of all, when Ring of Honor started, and those guys there now, and I'm friends with a lot of them. I won't say their names because I don't want to put them in the doghouse at Ring of Honor. No, but I'm legit. I think I'm buddies with pretty much the whole roster. And it's a different Ring of Honor now than it was then. But in 02, 03, 04, 05, me and backstabbing, shit-talking stooge ref Gary and the other stooge, ass-kisser, bullshitter, Paul Turner, the three of us would get in one car and drive to Dayton, Ohio, and drive to Chicago, and drive to Minnesota for $50. We didn't get trans. We didn't get this and that. Sinclair owning it now hooks those guys up. Which, and I'm not like, whoa, back in my day, this is what...
Right.
But I'm part of... I like to think I'm part of the fabric that helped build it. I might be half of 1%, but I'm half of 1%. And I was in Ring of Honor before Punk. And when Punk came in, he was the most humble son of a bitch in the world. And it's not that he sucked, because he's good. He's good, and he can talk, and he's broad. He's got very broad shoulders. He's not muscle-bound. Okay, he's a little bit bigger than he was in WWE. But and notice one thing he did, tattoos across the chest.
Yeah.
It's an old wrestler trick. How do you get yourself to look bigger? Tattoos across the chest. It's old Smart. Manny Fernandez trick.
Smart.
Which you notice Dan Moff does now, too.
Or you could pull the Jim the Anvil Neidhart and shave the six-pack into your...
You can do that, and that's another thing he did.
That's a running gag
but
we have here.
He came in, and I tell this story because I love it. Alice in Danger saw Punk, and her eyes were like owls. They were big as saucers, and she aimed right for him. And I remember standing in the hallway. It was me, Paul Turner, and Punk. And we're standing there. I think we're talking about Batman and Superman. We might be talking about comics, because not that I'm the biggest comic book nerd in the world, but Punk is, and we were talking about comics. So Alice in Danger runs up to him and goes, I'm so tired. And she wraps her arms around Punk and puts her head right in his chest. And Punk gave a look on his face like, what the fuck do I do? Because at this point, he didn't go anywhere yet.
Right.
You know? He wanted to go to Japan, and Steve Corino had the 0-1, and... this. And he didn't want to ruffle any feathers, Punk. So Punk looked at Paul Turner and then looked at me like, what the fuck? What do I do? And Turner went, Hanson, So I walked over and grabbed Allison and went, oh, Allison, come here. Gabe needs you for a promo or something with the prophecy, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as I walked away, I remember Punk going, thank you. mouthing, thank you. And I just remember that guy And not 6 months later, when he started being the head trainer at the school, cleaning Gabe Sapolsky's fish tank, and he's living in a house, dangerous house, and which is fine. And right. I don't hate him for it, because that's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah.
The best wrestlers, this is an old Inferno Kid line, the best workers in the world are guys you've never heard of. And that's, it's just true. Fact, because you have to play the game. It's unfortunately that it's political. And, you know, and I'm not saying that's why I'm not there, but maybe it is.
Maybe.
The only guy to just shake my hand and give me a stare and cock his chin this way. And this is 6 months ago. I'm like, you're the motherfucker in basketball shorts that drove from Chicago that was just humble as a son of a bitch. And now you're going to act that way to me. It's not. And people will say it's bitterness. People will say, oh, it's because he's on top and he's the biggest star. You're saying all this. No, because you don't see me doing it about Daniel Bryan. You don't see me doing it about Samoa Joe, who might be the only guy I've never heard a bad word about. He's really? Another guy, too. AJ Styles, all these guys that were there before. I'm Homicide's one of my good friends. Everybody in that Ring of Honor locker room, we all loved each other back then. We were all cool. That was the greatest locker room until Punk started getting that pull. And a lot of guys in the back. I don't speak for anybody, but as a referee, I said this to you, Mets, before this show started. When you look it through the eyes of who might be one of the best teams in the next 3 years, because they're...
we'll see.
Because it's true. I'm a big sports fan, so don't try to get me on that one either.
I got you.
But what, I've completely lost my train of thought because you interrupted.
CM Punk, nobody else.
No one else will say it, and I get why they don't want to ruffle feathers. But seeing the business through the eyes of a referee, a lot of people treat you the same way, and everybody was saying it, and everyone was pointed at him. And you know what? One thing I hate, what I'll say about the Punk thing. I said something. First of all, I haven't said a word about Punk in like a year. Literally, the heat for me is gone. If I saw him, I'd be like, yo, what's up, Punker? How you doing? And he would ignore me or, you know, completely no-sell or whatever. But, and I have a cool story about when I did shit on him every day on Twitter. But, well, real quick, I'll tell you. Homicide's a mutual friend of his and mine. And Punk said to him, he goes, what's the deal with Hanson always shitting on me? Does he want me to fucking pay a month of his rent? Will that shut his ass up?
Oh, my God.
And that's hilarious, and I actually want to shake his hand and tell him how funny I think that is. That is pretty damn funny, even though shit's on me, it's funny shit. But he's the only one at that time where the boys turned against. Wow. Because he had the office in his hand. This is after Finkelstein ruined it all for everybody,
right,
with
right,
the NBC sting, which I'm surprised Chris Hansen didn't walk him over to his couch at the time.
Have a seat.
But for the record, there's two people that defended RF during that time. And RF, I know you're listening because you're an internet mark. Sean the Mick and the guy sitting right here. Only guys that defend him, which probably hurt me because Gabe Sapolsky wanted everyone from the RF video
gone.
And he slowly did it. And he won't say it, but I'm saying it for him because it's just the way shit is.
That's how it is.
That's exactly how it
is. That's how it is.
And it's fine, but Ring of Honor became a company. And that really sucked because it was the fucking greatest. We all loved it. None of us made any money. Except Punk started getting the flights and started getting the hotel rooms. And wow. And other guys did too. Christopher Daniels did. He deserved it. He earned it at that point. Samoa Joe did. He earned it at that point. And Punk was earning it.
Right.
But there was a level. There was a difference. Because I tell everybody, I made $50 a show. So in Ring of Honor, I love when people say, they fired you. No, they didn't fire me. I didn't get a check every week that said Ring of Honor Industries, here's your taxes that got taken. No, I was just reffing there.
Yeah.
I was an independent freelance contractor. You know what I'm saying? I loved it. And the matches I did there, I have most of my DVDs. There's still some I want to get. And I'm so proud of everything that I did. But at the end of the day, it was what it was.
With your time there, were you working regularly, basically? Like $50? Like how many times a month would you say?
They would run maybe once or twice a month.
Okay.
You know, and I had a real job then, and right. I was doing as many indies as I can. That's what you had to do then.
Of course.
That's what you have to do now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I wanted to get into a whole thing, and I'm trying to pull the pieces here. That's why these old school guys that say, oh, the kids today, they don't know how to work, and they don't know how to do this, and they don't know how to do that. Well, maybe the legends, like I was saying, Hall, Nash, Brett, I'm just using those guys as examples. How about instead of smartening the fans up, smarten up the boys in the back and teach us how to fucking do it instead? So there could be territories, and there could be places to work now. Because you can't do it now. You can't go backwards. I can't erase everybody's mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's and people true. Will say, well, it'll affect WWE, and it does affect them in the numbers. Now, Raw isn't drawing sevens and eights like it was when we were
not
in high school,
at all.
But they're still drawing threes. Do they get to a four rating? Maybe they do. Maybe
no,
they don't.
Not in the last couple of years.
All right, but you know what? Two and three is enough because, man, I guarantee you Vince is still making money.
Billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Little kids will always love wrestling because it's loud. There's music. There's noise. They wear belts. They come out with masks. Kids love that shit.
Yeah, there'll always be that three.
Always.
Always, no matter what.
I don't care what you do.
And their stock has been through the roof lately, right?
That's because of the network.
Exactly.
And that network sucks if you want to have a life. Because they have all, they have world class championship wrestling archives, and you know that's why I got into wrestling. I wanted to be a Von Erich. Yeah. My first memories, first of all, I remember being a Hulkamaniac, watching my grandfather MSG. But I wanted to be David. I wanted to be Kerry. I wanted to be Kevin. And I wanted to be Mike. People shit on Mike. Oh, Mike was a terrible worker. You know what? He hooked me. And the Von Erichs were, and I say this, and a lot of vets disagree. If David Von Erich doesn't die in Japan, maybe Vince doesn't get to the top as quick as he did. Because Von Erich
was the man.
He was the man. And then Von Erich from Money in the Bank. When David died, he couldn't beat Flair, obviously, in May of 84 for the belt. So they had to push Kerry. Well, Kerry's got to win it now. Kerry wasn't ready yet. They just kind of chucked Kerry into the water, which is fine because there was no natural X factor more so than Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah, he had the look.
He had a look you could not duplicate.
No, not at all.
And it sucks that he lost his foot, and it sucks that drugs took him from us way too early.
Yeah.
But if David lives, man, I don't know. I think Vince eventually does do it because Vince is, he's Vince.
Yeah, there's two things that if that would have changed wrestling. If David lived.
Yeah.
And if Magnum TA never got in that accident.
It's true, but Magnum TA didn't have the pull that Von Erichs did. TNA, I'm a Magnum. I said Magnum TNA. Sorry to insult you, Mr. Magnum. Never met you. I don't mean to insult you. But that's definitely true because Flair and Magnum TA didn't even have their best match.
Never
yet.
Had.
They didn't even touch.
I think he could have been Hulk Hogan for them.
For them, maybe, but there's Hogan, man. Hogan's in a. He's a
Magnum was tearing the place down with Tully Blanchard.
He looked good. Right. Him and Flair chasing each other. They could have kept Sting out of the spotlight for another year or two and could have built so many more different stories and definitely kept the NWA a little more in the mainstream than what they were.
Not disagreeing, but you know what? They still had Sting. They still had Dusty. But what I'm saying about Magnum TA is would he have outshined Dusty and Sting like Hogan outshined everybody? Because all the legends that crap on Hogan are ones that say that crap on him because they didn't get to work with him. Hogan was as unique and as different and as a star as and another thing Vince did, he put him in yellow and red.
Mm-hmm.
Red stands out more than anything. That yellow and red, when Ringling Brothers would put their posters up, they were yellow and red.
See, I always liked the blue and white though.
No, but you know,
I was a fan of the blue and white.
Baby
face
colors.
Vince knew to put him in yellow and red.
Yeah,
you know, and
to match the golden locks.
Dude, he was, you couldn't take your eyes off him.
Whatever it was worked.
And there's three guys in that group. It's Hogan. Austin got there. Austin pulled it back out of the depths. We wouldn't beat. Maybe this show doesn't have Marine talking if Austin doesn't come
we're
back.
We're talking through. TNA. We're talking
Russo
talking and
Bischoff. Nitro. We'd be talking Nitro.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, TNA is kind of WCW.
I still think Vince would have figured it out. Vince was eventually, just that good. And of course, it's easy to go back and say that. But I think Vince would eventually figure it out.
Imagine Vince would have been the GM of Nitro. Like, if it would have turned out the other way.
Never would have happened. He would not have sold it. He didn't sell when the feds got him. He didn't sell his neck.
Maybe the XFL would still be around.
He didn't sell when Ted Turner offered to buy it from him, like, way
Absolutely
back.
Absolutely not.
I'm in the wrestling business now.
Oh, well, like, that's great, Ted. I'm in the entertainment.
Him and Vern would have been side by side in the fucking hospital killing their roommates.
Jesus.
You didn't hear that story?
Oh, Vern guy, I'll show you wrestling's real, huh?
Was his roommate was German too, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he must have been having flashbacks.
Maybe
to like
his roommate
Von
shit
Raschke.
On the Iron Sheik, and Vern took it personally because he taught him how to dropkick. That's a Greg Gagne told me that story.
That's a great story.
He asked Sheik. Vern asked Iron Sheik, "Can you dropkick?" Of course, man. This is work, Bubba. This is jabroni. I can dropkick. And Vern Gagne shot dropkicked Sheik in the back and dropped him. Sheik got up, completely didn't sell it. Not exactly, Bubba. No, did not feel a thing.
Wow.
when Sheik tells those shooter stories, he leaves out some of
Of course he does.
Of course.
Well, a lot of it's just memory.
Yes. Yes.
He experimented a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
On the turnpike, mostly.
I want to go back in time a little bit to when we met, like, in 97, 98 time?
99.
Okay.
I just got out of high school.
That's right. Now, you had the long locks.
Which I never should have cut. And all you guys out there with long hair, don't fucking cut
it. Don't ever cut
it.
I wish I never cut my long hair.
Unless Vince has a contract in your face that says cut your hair. I should have never cut my hair. Go.
But I was deemed Luscious Lance Sandler.
Yes.
And then you were given Luscious Lance Sandler.
Yes, I was given it. Originally, I was going to be Backstreet Tristan Sweet.
Which is a name I came up with.
Yeah.
See, so we have that history. How did you go from, where was it, Jersey All-Pro is where you basically started? How'd you get hooked up with Ring of Honor from Jersey All-Pro?
Oh, JP. See, this is one thing I'll give Rob Finkelstein. I've said his name wrong because he deserves it. You can come in over there by the... Yeah, he's going through. He's stealing your fucking Nintendo game. Are you? Is that Mario Kart 64? You need the book to learn how to play that.
No, he just wants to sell
he's
on
a
eBay.
Collector.
You hit the A button anyway. This is what Rob Finkelstein did, which was smart. Him and Doug Gentry, God rest his soul. Love Doug. If I could pick one of them to go, I'd pick Rob, not Doug. And Rob would pick Rob. And not
I take
Doug.
It you and Rob don't get along. So
I like
well.
I like Rob not very much. You know, but as much as I like Heartburn. But Doug Gentry...
Who doesn't love Heartburn?
Doug was the man. Me and Rob talk about Doug. Everyone talks about Doug. Doug was great. Doug was the camera guy for RF Video. You never see him on camera because he's the one holding the handheld. But when ECW died, which was awesome for all of us because those bitter ECW guys would come and do all the indies. So, I mean, some of them were cool, but it was a little intimidating at first to see all these guys come off and come to the indies.
A lot of them are still bitter, like 20 years later.
Awesome. It's great. It's phenomenal.
Well, if you weren't getting paychecks for months on end, I think you'd be a little bitter, too.
And yeah, they have a reason to be, because you know what? I mean, they should have been getting paid a lot more what they did. But when ECW died, Ring of Honor was a year and a half away yet, so Rob and Doug were smart. They would go to every indie MCW. ECWA, JP, ICW, ran by Jack Sabbath. And I'll say one thing about Jack Sabbath I mention his name, because I'm probably not going to mention it again because he just fucked it. But his shows were white hot. Anyone that craps on him now, go back from January 01 to June 01. No one knew who Amazing Red was before Jack. And I'm not saying Jack takes all the credit for it. But Jack Sabbath brought some of these guys in. Matt Stryker, a lot of SATs, debuted at the Jack Sabbath shows. And from January to June, boom, those shows were awesome. And then Queens Elks Lodge pulled the plug.
Is that what happened to him? Because he always seems like he tries to get started again, and then it
well, now
doesn't
he's
happen.
He's an idiot, because when you fly Danny DeManto in from Florida, you're not spending your money right.
It's just, why the fuck
he spends
fly
his
him
money
in?
Like, and I'm not just shitting on DeManto for no reason, but I'm saying you spend your money wisely. But you don't just start running shows and you run out of money, and then all right, I'll run again in a year. No, that shit doesn't work.
No.
But I mean, it doesn't matter. Enough about Jack Sabbath.
All right, well, wait. You brought up Jack Sabbath. I gotta detour you.
No, he doesn't owe me money.
Declaration of Independence.
I didn't talk that bad about Punk.
Well, no, but
Declaration of Independence.
No, it's just because you mentioned Jack Sabbath, and I know he was the one that used to take probably 80 to 90% of the abuse on that website.
Oh, Mick money. He screwed Mick on a business deal.
But it was bad stuff. It was like Jack Sabbath molested his kid. Yeah, Jack Sabbath killed my grandmother. Like all this nasty shit.
Wow. And we were all buddies at the time. Me, Mick, Bison, Jack, and it.
See, this is the shit that a lot of people don't know about, like, independent wrestling, that this whole fucking other world exists.
Oh, what, that all of them are cunts? Like, all of them are horses?
No, but I mean, like, this whole, like, air your grievances, Declaration of Independence, like, the old Usenet groups and shit like that.
They were brutal.
Insane.
But the worst thing is the boys that sell for it. Like, someone crapped on me on the message boards, and you just don't sell for it. Because most of that was shown to Mick. Yeah. Johnny Mick won't tell you that, but oh, was him. And I know you know it was you, motherfucker. But that went on constantly. Tara Charisma, I raped Tara Charisma and got full blown AIDS. It's another thing that Jack Sabbath did.
Gino Caruso used to appear. Carmine appeared a lot on that fucking website.
No, he only appeared on the website, not because he was in his house. He didn't appear on the...
That's right. Dude, he did a shoot interview. Does anybody have a copy of that
thing? I was there for the shoot interview, and let me tell you what. This is when my drinking career was in full-fledged force. So me and, at the time, Kevin Matthews just got back from North Carolina. He was with Amber O'Neill, Alicia, fat-ass Ray Sager, die of a heart attack. I hate your guts if you're listening.
Did Ray die?
Huh?
No, I think he was wishing.
He was wishing.
Oh, because you didn't see me. You'd see a smile on my face. You have to surgically remove. we were there, and Mick is asking the questions, and me and Kevin Matthews are writing questions to hand to the Mick. What makes Vinny so vicious? We're just writing ridiculous. if you could rebook the Four Horsemen, who would you put in? Just like shit that were pappas. You know, did you ever rip your shirt off to Real American? Just like the dumbest thing we could possibly think of.
You ever see that picture of him wearing all the three SSCW belts on his front lawn?
Fantastic. But what I love is I didn't get an SSCW Frisbee. I mailed all those letters.
Wait,
I didn't get an SSCW
Frisbee. Now, I didn't even get paid, let alone a Frisbee.
He couldn't afford a decent ring, but he could afford to make Frisbees. And,
yeah. Oh, that ring. That
maybe he was going to
hire...
Wait,
you know about the ring at Don Bosco, right? The one that he bought that had no padding?
Fantastic.
The one that fell apart, and Chris Candido tried to put it together with bungee cords?
Candido, first of all, I'm glad he brought up... I could talk about Candido the rest of this pocket. Candido is, if there's one person I could bring back from the dead, it'd be him. He's the greatest human being that ever... He's just the greatest person I ever met in wrestling.
That's what we've heard from everybody that's talked about.
I never hear a bad thing about Candido.
I've heard, I won't say who said a bad word about it, but I had it stem from ECW. So, but that's a business deal. Candido was so... It's me and I got to talk to Shane Douglas about Candido last time I saw him. And we were talking about Candido. It's almost like he was socially awkward. Like, he thought he was socially awkward to the world when we all loved him. Because when I would do Frank Goodman's USA Pro shows, I'd ref the whole thing, by the way, which is awesome.
That's cool. Name, you friends with Frank on Facebook?
Love Frank Goodman.
Frank talks about Disney World. I want to fucking die every time I read that shit.
He's promoting Disney World like Macho Man promoted Slim Jim. I hope he's getting paid for
this. He bitches about the Brazilians, complains about the people that work there. He's like, but don't get me wrong, we had a fantastic time.
I just want to know if he walks around in the Masked Maniac mask at Disney World. That'd be great.
I hope so.
And he's just a fucking massive humanity walking around Disney World like every day.
Bigger than most of the boys that work this show. But when Candido would work USA Pro, there would be about 30, 40 matches. All the guys would walk up to the gorilla position, or there were sometimes he'd run at an ice skating rink. You'd see all the boys' faces plastered against the glass watching Candido's match. Because Candido, and this is when wrestling was already exposed. This is 03, 04, 05. He would do shit that I'm like, I can't believe the fans aren't in on this. Like, it was just, I don't know how to explain it to you. There was no one funnier in the ring, but was still good.
Yeah,
people try to be funny in the ring and joke with each other, and they suck, and they're the drizzles. Candido, just completely not.
He got it.
He got it and more, and it sucked that he died when he did. It was a
and the way that
freak.
He did.
And, yeah, the circumstance.
Yeah,
like, just
I mean, like,
freak. Blood clot.
I didn't cry about his death until a year and a half later. I was having beers with one of my best friends, Nick, my real life best friend. He's not a schmuck in the Indies. And I just started bawling in tears about Candido. And there'll never be anybody like him again. Yeah. There's no one that's going to be as funny and as good.
Yeah, he was hilarious. He was funny. He was definitely funny.
He'd be somewhere right now. I don't know if he'd be with Vince right now. He'd be doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a shame that
he'd have a Road Dogg spot or a Billy Gunn spot,
something
or
like
something
that.
Because
he got
into
clean. He got clean. He was doing.
He was
great.
Clean.
That's
the
sad part about it, dude.
And same thing with Hawk. I mean, I'm not saying he's as good as person because I don't know Hawk. I've had an experience with Chris Candido, but like he was clean. It's just too. Eddie Guerrero was clean.
It was too late.
There's
for
just
those
too
guys.
Much.
Well,
but Chris Candido. It wasn't too late for him. It was a freak fucking thing that happened to him.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
That's what made it worse.
Well,
I think
about Candido. The way he got the injury was wrestling Sonny Siaki.
Yeah,
I went back and watched that match. I watched it, and okay, Siaki was off, and he's not responsible for his death. But
no,
Siaki
not,
was
no.
off on the hip toss. I watched rewatching it. It was Siaki's fault, but I'm sure Siaki's thinks about it every day.
I'm sure.
Was not his fault.
Yeah, I
would have wished something crazy.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No,
think
but
that's
a
burden
cool
you
story
for the rest of your life.
A cool story about Sonny Siaki, and this is ridiculous. This is a Frank Goodman show. I'm wearing my ref shirt. I went up to Sonny Siaki, and I'm the one complaining everyone talks too much about insider stuff, and I'm going to do it right now.
Go for it.
I went up to Sonny Siaki. He's like, hey, brother, you got your finish? He looked at me and went, yeah, and he walked right past me. And he just walked past him like, is this motherfucker here? Nah, I'm the...
Wow.
Maybe clue me in. Yep. And he walked right past me, and I'm like, all right, I see what this guy's off. He's just, I don't know. He's very... he's a moron.
What is he up
to?
I haven't heard his name in a while.
Yeah, he's been
out
a long time.
Legit since that happened. Wow. I haven't seen him since that happened.
You ever fuck with anybody when you're making a count?
I fuck with anyone as much as humanly possible. If they're in a they could be in a camel clutch. They could be in a sad head. But do you fucking give up, Bernie? Do you want to be half and half?
No, but I mean, you ring the bell or you know.
I don't. I no, that I won't do because I won't fuck with the show.
Show can't do
but
that.
I will.
Gotta ask.
Okay,
wait. This is something fucking sweet. Bret Hart did a show for.
Make sure I don't
see?
Forget about my
here
question.
Here we go.
I have a question for you. After all right, this.
Remember it.
Got it.
Michael O'Brien runs the Federation Northeast Wrestling. They have two shows coming up. Check them out, northeastwrestling.com. Outstanding.
Good stuff.
Amazing. They run their shows right.
Bret Hart.
A black kid in Ring of Honor. I can't believe him.
Kenny King, Jay Lethal. Oh,
no, wait. Not Lethal Jay. Why am I forgetting his name?
Jay Lethal.
No. Cedric Alexander.
There you go. Oh, yes.
Why? First of all, he's a buddy of mine, and I forgot your name because I just drew a brain fart. Apologies to you because I know you're listening too.
He thinks you all look
alike. He wrestled
alike.
The world famous, probably the 9th, 10th wonder of the world, Bull Dredd. Horns to asses, asses to concessions. Bull Dredd is wrestling Cedric Alexander, and Bret Hart, kind of away from the fans by the gorilla position, there's like a little door where there's an autograph room. Bret's got the door open and his arms up against the doorway, and he's watching the match. 1, 2, 3, the finish happens. Cedric wins. And Bret nods his head and walks away. He was just watching the first match, probably to give Cedric and Bull Dredd, you know, some advice. I go to raise Cedric Alexander's hand. I went, Bret Hart was watching your match. As soon as the finish hit, he shook his head and slammed the door in disgust. Winner! and he did this, and I saw Cedric out. He didn't even make an expression, and he walked to the back. About 4 matches later, I went up to him. I was like, yo, man, I got you. I got you at the end, didn't I? And he went, what? I was like, when I told you that Bret shook his head, and I was just fucking with you. He's like, you were just fucking with me? He legit got so upset. He goes, I thought Bret hated my match. I didn't know how gullible this motherfucker was. And so, Cedric, if you're listening to this, forget everything I just said, because I am going to get you again. But that's the greatest thing in the world, because this Cedric was brand new. He wasn't in Ring of Honor yet. Now I'm like, man, he fucking thought Bret thought his shit sucked. I love breaking somebody's heart.
You ruined his life for a few hours.
Oh,
I don't have the guts to do anything. When people rib me, it makes me so I start sweating. like you guys just happened with Hacksaw with you guys. Like, that shit, I wouldn't be able to deal with that.
I heard that. I could not stop fucking laughing.
Bro, I froze like a deer in headlights.
Is this Duggan yelling, who rang that bell?
No.
He'll tell you.
We did. Eddie
does, Mets.
Eddie does all the video TitanTrons for PWS. So we did the show Saturday. So Duggan, you know, slowly walks up the fucking ramp, the steps. So Eddie's like, go. I hit the screen. Eddie hits the music. It's his WWF intro. Duggan looks at Eddie. His eyes get really big, and he starts going, no. And I'm like,
I back up. I'm about to shit myself. I'm doubting myself now. A song I've heard for 20 years. I'm like, is this Duggan's song that I fuck up?
Yeah.
What did I do? And then he just shakes his head, starts laughing, and walks to the ring.
Vets will get you.
Oh, my God. It was the greatest.
He does it. I refer him a lot. He does it to the timekeeper. When I go, ring the bell. Ding, ding, ding. He'll go, who rang the bell? I'm real nasty. And the kid looks up, and he goes, good job! It's fantastic.
He's had that shtick for like 30 years.
It's awesome.
It gets the crowd every time, dude.
He comes out with a board, yells USA in blue tights.
And that's it. That's all he needs to do.
Well, he's shorts.
Yeah, he's graduated to shorts now.
He still looks good. I hope I look that good when I'm 73.
Cancer survivor.
He whooped cancer's ass. Outstanding guy.
Yeah, super nice.
O'Brien asked me if I'd bring him to Newark Airport home from a show. Yes, I will. And we talked about Kurt Hennig and Boss Man and Von Erickson.
You didn't take the turnpike, did you?
Huh? No, well, I was going to make a stop on the turnpike and ask if he wanted to,
Tell him to pick it up Sheiky at...
Exactly! The police officer didn't recognize Hacksaw, but he recognized me. Sheik, don't sign nothing, and he points to his gun. I said, don't sign nothing, Bubba.
Sheik, was that Roy Rogers?
Bubba. There will never be another Iron Sheik. I love it. You said you were going to ask me a question.
Yes. This is completely going off.
Anyway,
topic.
Before I was going to say. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
About the refereeing before. Who did you study as? Like, did you watch any particular referees?
I never wanted to be a referee.
You wanted to be a
referee. I wanted to be a wrestler. And at JP, you were telling me how to go to JP. I went to the JP Wrestling School with Grandmaster B, the greatest wrestler probably in the history of the world, if you don't count about 700 other guys. I went to the school with him, and I trained
Good
for
thing
about,
we don't know this Grandmaster
for about
B
a
guy.
Month and a half. I trained $10 a lesson.
Where was this?
In Bayonne,
New Jersey,
Bayonne.
Okay.
Charity
Jersey
Hall.
I'm sorry.
And JP, it was Magic, sometimes Low Key, who's Magic. The only guy in wrestling who hasn't been smartened up. He still thinks it's real. And who? Dirty Don Montoya. They would randomly train.
I love hearing these old names.
They would randomly train them. Guys. So
I remember that.
Sometimes
after
the Haas Brothers, too.
Which is great. And Russ ribbed me. I'll tell you that in a second. So after training, there'd be open practice. And Skinhead Ivan's working one of the kids. He goes, hey, kid, get in here and ref. That ain't gold. That's welfare cheese. So I ran in. I started reffing for Ivan and his kid. And and Fat Frank walked over and went, hey, scratching his nuts. And he's talking his high-pitched voice. He goes, hey, good, you're good. You want to ref my show next month? And I was like, yeah. Because, when you're new, you say yes to anything.
Yeah, of course.
You know. Which you don't want to do in Rob Finkelstein's car.
No.
But I, whatchamacallit, I said yes. So I ref the first show, and then I ref the second show. And I'm like, man, I'm going to keep training, and I'm just going to wrestle at some point. And what happened? But no, during when I was training, a guy named JT Jobber. Do you remember
JT
him?
JT Jobber.
JT Loner. He,
yes.
Smart kid in real life.
Yeah.
Sweetheart. But he was a shit.
Bad.
Anyway, freaking, he gave me a front pile driver, and he sprained my neck. And I had no insurance then, and I don't have any, my parents are my grandparents, they both passed away when I was in high school, and I don't have mom and dad, whatever. This isn't a sob story, but I was living with my uncle, and I was a landscaper at the time. My Uncle Chuck said, if you get hurt, you're out, I'm not taking care of you.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't have insurance, so I was like, I'll just stick to the reffing thing for a little while. And 15 years later, I'm sitting on your couch talking about it. But Candido. Is the one that said when I reffed. Candido thought I was good, and this is legit. This is out of Candido's mouth, and other people can vouch for me. Candido's like, oh, well, Hanson, you should watch out Brian Hildebrand. He's real good. And he goes, you and Brian Hildebrand are probably the two best wrestlers I've ever had.
Rest in peace.
And Brian Hildebrand's gone too. But I watched Brian Hildebrand and Mike Chioda.
All right. Well, my question was actually about Nick Patrick. And have you ever watched Nick Patrick?
I used to count like Nick Patrick. I think.
And did you ever do this? Like the.
Yeah, I've done all this.
That's old
stupid
school.
Is that like school. Now? Can they play that off like I'm just trying to actually see if the shoulder?
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Or is that just like blatantly giving away the fact that it's going to be a two count?
No, that's fine. Like, because what these guys do is, and this is what I love, act as if it's a shoot. Well, quote Bobby Heenan, if it was a shoot, I'd stand there and do nothing because I've never seen one. Okay.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a stage. It's supposed to be a work. So Earl Hebner actually taught me that. I can count, and if this dude ain't kicking out, make it look like he kicked out. Because I'm the ref. I see it. I'm
and
right
Earl
there.
Earl was the best at that.
Oh. No one was better. Who?
Earl Hebner.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best at
There's
that.
A reason Earl is Earl. I always thought Mike Chioda was on his level, and Brian Hildebrand, of course. But, yeah, I can get away with that.
I don't like Earl Hebner.
Because you know what? The people sitting there watching, they don't know the finish. Unless there's a mark in the back who texted and tweeted the finish and all of his buddies that are sitting out in the crowd.
But it just seemed like even if you didn't, if you weren't wise to it, like you see him always kind of go like that and push the guy's shoulder up to make...
Which is fine. It's fine. I have no problem with that because if the match is supposed to keep... Because there's times, and it happened to me in Ring of Honor, and people say I was bitter and I had a shitty... there's times that motherfuckers didn't kick out. Austin Aries, you bring him up. It was Generation Next just started.
Yeah.
It was the Briscoes and somebody against Austin Aries, Jack Evans, Roderick Strong, Alex Shelley. Gabe came up to me, Hanson, Matt's going to be 50 minutes. Is that okay? It's going to go 50. I was like, yeah.
All nervous.
I'm cool with it. Nervous as a motherfucker. I like Gabe now. I hated him for years, but we're cool now. I don't give a fuck, but what a nerdy, nervous bastard. It's funny when he talks to you, though. Anyway, he asked, he's going to go 50. 10, maybe it was 15 minutes in. Briscoes do the Doomsday device, the LOD.
Yeah.
Austin lays 1-2, doesn't kick out. So I stop it to go, no, he's not the legal man. He's not the legal man. And there might have been four or five other times I counted the illegal man.
Yeah,
but
this.
I count three, I fuck the show up now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and I asked Austin in the back, I'm like, yo. And he's like, well, I'm not kicking out of that. And I understand. I understand his point, too.
Either
you
way
don't
for the
want to make shit look weak.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe come up with something. And Ricky Steamboat taught me how to get away with that. Who, by the way, anyone listening who's an aspiring wrestler, if you want to learn anything pro wrestling, and this, Ricky Steamboat is the ultimate teacher. He should be the lead trainer at WWE. I don't know what he is now. And he's an agent now.
Yeah.
He should be the number one guy at Florida.
If you want to learn how to sell,
just do
everything.
First of all,
matches.
He's the best babyface in wrestling history.
Never heel.
Never a heel. But he's the best babyface in wrestling history. He's too good at it to ever be a heel.
Yeah. Did Ring of Honor try to make him heel?
No. I was there when he was there. This was the story.
You're right, Kev?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, Tony.
Nice.
Good job, Mets. You pop for that. they were setting up for CM Punk against Ricky Steamboat at maybe Glory Bond or Final Battle, whatever. And it was Ric Flair who talked Steamboat out of it. If you're going to return, there's only one place to return. And he did it, WrestleMania against Jericho, which is the smartest thing to do. But Steamboat carried that angle out, and then he got signed in December 04 as an agent with WWE. Because first of all, when he was working with us in Ring of Honor, I'm like, why is he with us?
Right.
He's too good to be teaching us. Yeah. But what I learned from him in 6 months is more than I could learn from anybody in 10 years. But Steamboat's number one. Ricky Morton is a real close number two. Yeah. But Steamboat's number one above all. And I'll throw Raven in there. But sometimes you got to fucking cut Raven off because, kicks in the shits. Whoa, presentation. So sometimes you got to cut him off. But that if you want to learn from anybody, Ricky Steamboat, just watch his matches. You're going to learn something. And Shane Douglas said this, but fuck him, he's not here. So I'm going to say that I said it. It's my thing. If you're going to learn anything, watch as much wrestling as humanly possible. But B, watch all the old stuff, because that's you're going to learn all the little things.
Now, old as in what, 80s or like before?
80s, 70s, 60s. But I wouldn't go farther than the Attitude Era, than the TV era when Raw and Nitro became big, because wrestling changed then. If you don't learn how to do a basic house show match, you're never going to be a great TV wrestler. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. That's my opinion, because you got to learn all the nuances. You got to learn every little detail that I would, when Michael O'Brien, Northeast Wrestling, there was a show I did. It might have been 8 matches, and there was some couple lightweight matches, Jason Blade and this. Then the main event was Joey Matthews versus Booker T, and I'm like, I got this. When I reffed it, I went to school.
Yeah.
Because Joey Matthews is another one of the greatest wrestlers maybe of all time that you never hear about. And I just watched what they did, and I'm like, man, that was so fucking good. I don't know if they bumped more than 4 times, and neither one of them went to the top rope. And you look at the 3 greatest wrestlers, the 3 biggest stars ever, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock. Did they do topes?
Never.
Did they do a couple moonsaults? Acai moonsault? Did they do... What I love is the do-si-do. When a guy goes to whip him off, and they do the little do-si-do.
Oh,
and
yeah, the little reverse around.
I love that shit. I want to shoot clothesline both the motherfuckers in the ring when I'm riffing when they do that.
That's because, like a newer thing.
It's
too.
A much newer thing. Jeff Jarrett is the first guy I saw to do it. And I really like Jeff Jarrett. I think his punches are amazing.
But he would do that and turn it into the stroke.
Right. Or he'd turn it into something else, but he would do the stroke mostly. But I hate when guys do that now. Because same
he would
thing.
Do the Bret Hart?
We're supposed to. Bret Hart wouldn't do it. Bret Hart would never do it. Bret Hart would.
That one.
Oh, did I not get that?
The stroke.
Oh, you're an idiot.
That could be the awesomest moment tonight. Ref Hansen called me an idiot.
That's the name of the show. That's what we're calling the show.
That motherfucker. Hashtag idiot. Hashtag best ref in the world. But Bret Hart, instead of that, will go bitch about making $9 million in WCW for doing no work. Can he please stop bitching about
that guy talking out the side of his mouth?
My God. You know, I thought I was going to hell, motherfucker. You're
allegedly. He's already there.
Day you're gonna go to sleep and you're gonna wake up in hell next to a Canadian flying off a Bolo Flex. You understand that shit? And you know what's awesome? This is a line I used again. I told you I don't hate Punk anymore. That's the legit truth. Punk could walk in here right now and we'd be cool. But this is.
Yeah, right? He's hiding back here.
If so, you know, I can't tell what's skinnier. These poles holding the microphone or his arms. But my whole thing about Punk, what I would say about CM Punk, I love it. Vince McMahon. So, Chris, speaking of Chris Benoit, what we're going to have you do is
kill your wife and a kid.
Yeah, we're going to have you put over CM Punk at tomorrow night's pay-per-view. For the ECW Championship, and Chris Benoit responding, no thanks, Vince. I think I'd rather go kill my wife and kid than hang myself from a Bolo Flex.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kill your fucking line.
Well, you did. You completely did.
Yeah,
but
thanks, Tony.
You know what?
We can cut that out.
Do me a favor. Eat a bag of dicks. Who else has a question right here? Mets, what's on your mind? Yeah, right there. You said a mouthful.
Just enjoying the ride.
That's the best promo I've heard since Kevin Matthews' last promo. People ask me if I saw Kevin Matthews' last promo, and I say, God, I hope so.
But psh.
Fuck you guys. That shit was funny as hell in the shower.
What was this?
Huh? No, my joke.
The joke.
Oh, my God. You know what? If you guys can't keep up, unbelievable.
I was busy ringing the bell.
Yes.
No. Now, what does this bell signify? What is explain
it's just
to
the inappropriate bell. It's kind of a staple now of like radio
when,
shows.
When one of our guests like drops the N-bomb.
Like when we get
well, I'm sure as hell not going to say that because I've met Stevie Ray. So I'm never using that. That's the biggest human being I've ever met in my life.
He is a big dude.
He's a monster.
And a cool guy, too. Very, very nice.
He's a cool
guy.
Biggest dick that you've met, not counting
biggest
Punk.
Dick biggest that I've met,
that
not
you've worked
Punk.
With, that you've met in the business.
Oh, man. Curtis Slamdog.
Who the fuck is Curtis
Slamdog? I've heard of
some
Curtis
Some schmuck
Slamdog.
From New England. What a piece of shit that guy
excuse
was.
Me.
He was, he'd have a singlet. His tits were hanging over the singlet. One of those guys.
You're fascinated with men's tits, huh?
Huh?
What? He knows tits, Slam Dog's tits.
You got pretty nice tits.
I know. They're down to an A, thankfully.
Well, what I would like to do is squeeze one of them, close my eyes, and pretend it's a 16-year-old girl. Can I do is that? No.
That's fine.
Anyway,
that's fine. 16? Jersey.
Huh?
You thank you for saying that.
Hey, I didn't say that, but
said,
that's pretty funny.
Girl,
please tell me you recorded that.
it's all recorded.
Biggest dick. We're friends now, but he would say it too. Big Vito.
Big Vito.
Phenomenal. Wow. He was the biggest dick to me for years.
Was this
we're buddies
his,
now.
Like Skull Von Crush days?
No, he was the Italian by this point.
Okay.
WCW.
Oh, wow.
He was the biggest dick in the world to me. We're cool as shit now.
No kidding.
But that's Big Vito.
Yeah,
that's
but
my buddy.
But Vito is more of like, he lives the gimmick. You know what I'm saying? We met him.
You have no idea. That's ring the bell, because that's the understatement of the night.
Dude, we worked with him.
I like him a lot, though, because he is who he is.
Wait, you were on the basketball show, right? For Carmine?
Oh,
were
yeah. What,
the Battle Royal?
Yeah. I don't have them labeled.
Which with one? The Insomniac?
Was
he
was
on that
in
show?
One of the Battle Royals as Luscious Lance.
As Luscious Lance, and I was eliminated
he wasn't
by
in that Battle Royal with that
he wasn't on that
was
show. He
was
not
no,
the
no, no.
Show.
I got released from SSCW as per their website. And so did Josh Daniels. And we called it. And Josh Daniels said, so did the Bubble Boy release you too?
The Bubble Boy?
He fired Kevin Matthews too.
Kevin Matthews pissed on his belt in the urinal, which is great.
Two people gave a fuck about. Nobody and him. That's it. No one gives
you,
a fuck.
You ever work with Johnny Dreamer?
Oh, my God, Johnny Dreamer. Yes. Biggest goofs I ever worked with. Oh, my God.
Carmine wanted me.
Where did
in
this
my,
guy come
this was
from?
Like my second match. He wanted me to work Johnny Dreamer for the SSCW Championship with Mr. Puerto Rico.
Mr. Puerto Rico. That I wish he lived in my house.
I love Ralph.
I love Ralph Soto. He is fucking ridiculous. He would talk to me as The Rock in the back as me
yeah,
as
yeah,
Hanson.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's the Rock's
cousin. He's like a little off, but definitely a nice guy.
Oh,
I always love. I always love Ralph.
And sexy in a shy kind of way.
Who was that Sal Benoit character?
Sal Benoit. He's dead now.
He hey, I killed
away.
Him, my wife.
Oh, he died.
Which, yeah, he died
no
December 2003. He had pneumonia.
Really?
Oh. Cool as shit.
Wow.
The Fiero guys kind of used him. He was as a stooge, a jabroni.
He
but they liked
like,
him, too.
He was kind of like a little, you know, smaller.
He was a little, but, you know, he's cool as fuck.
He was a nice guy.
He was always there for you. He'd do whatever the fuck he wanted. But what would be great was he'd buy the guys beers, and then he'd get a little liquored up himself and start cutting promos on guys. It'd be great.
Wow.
Little man. He would just start cutting promos. They were fantastic.
Sounds like a quadro.
Oh
I wish
God.
We fucking recorded it. Sal Benoit was a cool guy. You know, and you know what I did, which is kind of like morbid, disgusting, but I like wrote down a list of guys I worked with who were dead, and it's like about 26, 27.
Isn't that the craziest?
It's crazy. And adding Viscera now, who is another sweetheart of a fucking guy.
That's all we hear. We had him on the show a few months ago. Super
fucking
friendly.
He was awesome. Me and him talked about marriage and kids one time, just talk about life. And I'm just like, this fucking guy's awesome.
He's a real guy.
But he was Yoko, man. He was just fucking big.
Just too big.
He was telling us he was losing weight. He was getting in better shape.
He dropped almost 100 pounds.
But when you drop 100 pounds, when you're already 500, that you're still 400 pounds or 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's still...
Which... It's just such a shame. Too bad it wasn't Gino Caruso.
Oh,
I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna show up at his. I'd do his memorial
well,
show
that
for
now.
Free.
That's what I want to talk about.
Let's do
first
it.
First of all,
we
I'll say
Jersey
this.
All Pro. How did you get around into Gino Caruso? And
I just looked for work anywhere I could.
Okay, so I've heard. So work as in work for Gino Caruso means that you were actually paid.
I got paid a couple of times, $25 to $50. I opened, and then eventually he'd pay me $50 to do the ring and his show.
Okay.
And then he wouldn't pay me at all. And then he'd say, oh, we got TV tapes coming. That's what he does to everybody.
No.
But I don't hate him for that.
That's one guy that you say we never hear a bad thing about certain people. That's one guy you never hear a good thing about.
Because he's a piece of shit.
Gino?
Insane. Yeah.
That's
no, here's why.
True.
Here's why. He's unfriendly. He's just an unfriendly fuck. And this is what I say about you, about Mets, about all of us here right now, including the guy who's walking around, and you're walking around for like 15 minutes here, back and forth, stealing Wii remotes, stealing shit in the back. Sit down and enjoy your ice cold beer in the bottle. That didn't make perfect situation. But this is, we're all in this because we liked guys in underwear, pretending to fight. We liked that shit as little kids. And this was what made all of us want to do this. We all did this together. When I was in school, freshman year, Sandra Zygmunt looked at me in homeroom 410 and saw me in my Diesel Power shirt and said, I can't believe you wore that to school. 3 years later, every motherfucker had an Austin 360
shirt. Exactly.
But I was the only kid who had a Diesel Power shirt. If me and you went to school together, or me and you went to school together, your Savio Vega shirt would look cool next to my Goldust shirt.
Dude.
Because we loved fucking wrestling. But no, and it's true. Let me tell you something. Oh, and by the way, Goldust always tells me to mention this. He learned how to be a great heel from Savio Vega. He always tells me to mention it.
I saw that match.
March 17th, 1996, MSG. Greatest fucking match I've ever seen. Puerto Rican street fight, Savio Vega versus Goldust. I was on the edge of my fucking seat. This is not a rib.
Isn't Goldust
fantastic?
Like
I was there. That should have main evented. It was unbelievable. And that match,
a house show?
That it was a house show. I hope it was filmed. That's one of those matches they'll never have again. It was so good.
Oh yeah.
But we all got into this because we would go home and watch fucking tapes of Survivor Series '92. So we all, when we come to shows, we all want to be buddies. No one wants to hate each other. No one wants to fucking shit on each other. Everyone's like, oh, I should have the belt. He should have the belt. But we. Because we're the people that are bitter, the most bitter, are passionate motherfuckers. I'm passionate for wrestling because I sit home and watch WWE fucking network. Because me and Eddie Bandito Jr. Fucking have DVD night where we watch fucking Lewis. He's watching it right now. I fucking love it because this is what we all do. We don't want to show up at a show making $25 with some dick named Gino Caruso treating everybody like an asshole. And he doesn't treat everybody like an asshole. He's just unfriendly. If I walk in, what did I say when I said, "Oh, what's up, brother? How you doing? Hey, whose shirt is that?" Gino walk in. Oh, hey. And then fucking walk away like a fucking stuck up piece of shit.
If you
Gino, do me a favor. No one gives a fuck that you wrestled TL Hopper at a dark match at Raw. And no, you weren't on fucking Clash of the Champions.
He wrestled. He's on the WWE Network, you know.
Oh, on ECW.
Yes, against the Public Enemy.
You fucking, I don't know why they don't do the shit. They should edit his shit out like Benoit for being the shits. Fuck him.
He was in for all of 5 seconds.
Look, I'm not saying something here because I don't want to fucking get a lawsuit against me or you guys. Put up a disclaimer on your thing right now, Mets, whatever. This is 100% real.
Lawsuit?
I'm real as fucking shit right now. I know a young girl. No names. I'm saying no names right now. Okay, she was underage by a couple of years. This is actually the one time I'm going to be serious, Mets. Okay? What the fuck? I'm trying to be serious here. I'm not wearing a pink cutoff shirt to not be serious.
No, you're good. You're good.
Brought to you by the Extra
Guys. I'm just kidding, man. I love you forever.
I love that Extra Guys shirt,
It's outstanding.
So do I. Still waiting for ours.
There
was
a young female who had oral sex performed on her, and she had to perform on a wrestler who was training at Gino Caruso school right outside of the school. I'm saying no names because I don't have video evidence and I don't have a lawyer here, but it happened outside of Gino Caruso school. So to all parents, to anyone listening who has a niece, who has a sister, who has a cousin, who has anything, do not send your school that fucking pedophile fest. Feast over there. That shitbag Gino Caruso, because you're going to spend money to learn arm drags and hip tosses, to sell tickets to your family and your friends, because you go to an ECPW show, you don't see returning fans, maybe 4 or 5. No, motherfucker, you don't have TV because nobody watches it. It's a fucking joke. It's a way for you to get people to work for free. And what I did say before did happen, and if I'm forced to prove it, I'd have to. But the bottom line is, I heard that, I wanted to fucking punch a hole through the wall, because that's just another fucking black eye on wrestling, and that shit shouldn't fucking happen. I hate women. Women deserve fucking the shit. They deserve so much.
Whoa.
Shit. They are bitches. They fucking drive us fucking crazy, but you know what? We can't live without them, and they don't deserve
to
be treated like shit.
You just said.
Whether it's consensual or not, the bottom line is it fucking happened. No, hold on.
Easy there, Clark.
What Clark?
You think you're cool?
Oh,
you're not so cool.
Oh, you don't know about Clark?
That fan's an idiot. Janella Palooza.
Thank you.
He needs to drive around with me all day. I just want to listen to him talk. But that shit did happen outside of Gino's school. And I don't know if Gino knew about it or not. But fuck him. That place should be shut down. His name should never be mentioned. I shouldn't even mention his name tonight because I'm giving him free press. But he's a piece of monkey shit. Fuck you. Eat a bag of dicks. Get cancer and die. Next subject.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, fuck him.
I think that's what we wanted to talk about this entire time. Do we have a next subject?
What, just Gino Caruso?
That's it. That's
no, I want to know about this anger towards Kevin Matthews.
I don't have anger towards Kevin Matthews. Just he's an imp. Like, we're buddies and shit, but Kevin will just move on to the next friend. Like, Kevin Matthews, I'll say this. At my worst during my drinking career, when my life hit a fucking dip, And I was fucking on suicidal watch for a while. And Kevin Matthews is one of the people that helped pull me fucking out of it. So I will always remember him for that. This was 07. Funny, it was right after Benoit. But not because of the Benoit thing. Shit, my personal life. But Kevin Matthews, Alicia's another one. And my best friend now in wrestling, Eddie Bandito.
Love Alicia.
Jr. They were there. The a lot of guys love Alicia and loved Alicia. Love Alicia.
I think you had something here.
All three of them were there for me that time. So I won't shit on Matthews, but Kevin Matthews will, when he talks about PWS on the Facebook and the Twitters, you should push your shit like that. But I put up a post, and he's probably listening right now. I know he's listening right now because he saw Hanson. I got to watch the most bitter ref in the world. Fucking. But he puts up, I put up a status. I hope one day to be as good as a referee to work for one of the big four, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or PWS.
That's awesome.
And 10 people got it, but that's funny shit. Oh. You know, he just, and he tells these, me and Sean the Mick especially would make fun of him. He would always tell a 2005 Deep South story. And we're like, motherfucker, we've heard them all. You hate Bill DeMott. I actually want to see the fight between him. Don't you want to see Bill DeMott fight Kevin Matthews? I've heard from a million guys Bill DeMott would run through him like a fucking bull in a china closet.
I don't know.
I don't know, too, because Kevin's not a fucking pussy. You know, he'd fight. But that hatred's real, and I know Kevin's side of the story. And I know other guys' side of the story that Bill was a bully and shit. Bill was cool as fuck to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know why Bill was cool to me? It's because Bill DeMott is friends with Al Snow, and I'm good friends with Al Snow. And I was reffing on the Frank Goodman show that I went, and that's how I met Bill DeMott. So he likes me.
Frank Goodman, man, he booked all the big guys before anyone else was doing
it. Another guy that people shit on. Let me tell you something. What happened? He lost his license in New York. No six. A young kid was paralyzed on the show.
Really?
I don't know if that's why he lost his license, whatever, but he did move his family to Florida, and he's having, his life is fucking smooth right now. He runs the shows in Florida. I wanted to do the last one, couldn't get down there. But he was running these fucking shows that other promoters shit on. Oh, they're so long. And they're, motherfucker, you can't get his roster. And you can't make money like he did.
Yeah.
And he did. His shows were stellar. And you could go to a show for 2 hours. Let's go get something to eat. Come back and the show's still on.
It's not even main event yet.
I would get there and just, dude, I would run to the ring at 10, at 5 to 7. I'd come from my job at Lynn's Nissan. Never buy a car there. They're fucking crooked. They're fucking thieves. They're holy dirty shit. Promoters.
I thought
do
everyone
not
wins.
Buy your
I
car.
Thought everyone wins there.
Yeah. You fucking win like you win a game on Madden on fucking PlayStation. You get nothing. But never fucking buy a car there or Autoland. They're fucking thieves.
You get the coins. You get the points on Madden.
You get more on Madden than you would at Lindsay Sun. I would come from my job there, show up at fucking Queens Elk Lodge, wherever it was, get in the ring by 7, be out of the ring at 1. And Raven, classic Scott Levy, classic Raven, go, you know, Frank, yeah, technically, I should get 2 paydays. Because I actually got here last night, and I'm wrestling today. I'm here for 2 days. So Raven's actually right there. And I actually got paid for 2 days, because I was there for 2 days. I was in the ring for 6 hours. But that was, with Ring of Honor, the early days of Ring of Honor, my most fun in wrestling was USA Pro.
Yeah, I hear a lot of good stories about USA Pro.
They were fucking fun, man. I wish I was in the back for half of that shit.
Oh, man.
Just to hear Boss Mahoney call his match. Boss,
Jesus
no one
Christ.
Liked him. No one liked Boss Mahoney. Candido always called me Nelson because I knew Boss Mahoney for like 3-4 years at this point, and he thought my name was Nelson. He's like, hey, okay, Candido, Chris, I want to run a show. I want that ref, Nelson. And Candido went, who? The kid from USA Pro, Nelson, right? Hanson, you idiot. John, his name's Hanson. You've known him, he refs every one of your matches. His name's Hanson. Hanson, Nelson, same thing. His balls is, he's never wrong. You know?
Never wrong. Burned out to the max.
But he's another teddy bear, man. He's fucking great. You wouldn't want it, but if you needed a kidney, he'd give it to you.
Oh, you would not want
you
that.
You fucking would
cut
want
it out himself.
Exactly. He can perform his own surgery. He could kill a shark with a spork.
Thoughts on New
Check
Jack.
Out Sugar Mask TV.
You ever work with New Jack?
I would say no comment, but I hate people that say that. I say hi to New Jack when I see him, and bye, and that's it, because he is another one that just treats me like I'm a piece of shit. I never did anything to him, but he never takes the time to remember me, so why would I take the time to remember him?
Fair enough.
Just the way it is. And you know what? First of all, I hear about 2 good stories about New Jack. 2 good people say good things about New Jack.
Yeah.
That's it. No one could deal with him. But to his friends, he's a great motherfucker. Homicide's a good friend of mine. He's friends with him. New Jack's friends talk great about him. Like, he's a good friend to his friends, but he's not around. Like, Scott Steiner. Let me bring up him. He's another one. He's not around to make new friends. He's been around. But he's a cool fuck, you know? He's not. He doesn't take the time out to say, "Oh, hey, kid. Well, Hanson. No. Well, where are you from? Like, no, that shit don't happen. You know, we go out in the ring. We do our thing, and that's that." New Jack's kind of the same way. He's just more unfriendly.
Yeah, I hear that. I can see that.
Let me ask you a question. You mentioned the
you made a
reference to the Chris Hero hoodie, which I was wearing when I walked in. The second time this week, my balls have been busting about that. Eddie Kingston took a bunch of shots at me Saturday.
Eddie Kingston, the world's greatest looking bartender.
I love Eddie Kingston. I think he's fantastic.
I think he's the greatest looking bowling pin that ever got in a professional.
What do you got? Against Chris Hero?
Chris Hero, I like Chris Hero. I've worked with Chris Hero a couple times, and like we did a thing in PW Elite together. I knew he wasn't getting signed. I mean, he got signed. I knew he was going to be on TV. Chris Hero is just lacking like an X factor, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what to say to him because he doesn't suck. You know, he's smart and he's good. He knows a lot of shit about wrestling.
Yeah.
Just looking at him, like I don't see it.
It's rare to find that though. That's hard.
Very few fuckers have it.
I'm trying to think right now, like, who do you see that has it?
Well, the only guy who is money is Randy Orton. He's money in the bank. He is money, money, money. Oh, who on the indies now?
Yeah. It's tough, right?
I'll say this, and it's not because I'm friends with him. A guy named Matt Taven. He works for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You know the name?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know what to say to him. Maybe he's got to change his tights. Maybe he's got to grow his hair out more. He's going to be a star. I think he's going to be a star. He just has a different look than everybody.
Yeah, that's important too.
I'm not a half and half. I'm not half and half, Bubba.
Bubba.
But he's a good looking guy. You know, that's part of it too. But he looks good in the ring.
Yeah.
And Mike Bennett, I think, is a budding WWE star. I think when they find
funny dude too.
And
he's great.
Another, he broke our balls a lot too.
He's the Owen of our generation in terms of nicest guy. He's number one.
Keep him away from the harnesses.
The next nicest guy is number two. Like, he's number one. Mike Bennett's number one. Everybody else is number two. That's 100%. And I'll say I'm above my own best friends because he just is. He's just the nicest guy in the world. And him and Maria found something we all don't find, which is sweet. I can't wait to fucking hit that wedding because, cowboy had to be on. And I'll be, live and in living color. But Taven and Bennett, I'd name his two guys, but definitely Matt Taven. He's just got something, like we talked about, an X factor, because everyone still looks at. And you know what I love about today's guys, especially in this area? Mets, you're looking at me like you want to do something to me. You're looking at me with bedroom eyes.
Maybe.
Oh, fuck. You kind of look like Generico without his mask. Except he's much better looking. But other than that, you look exactly the same.
I'll take the compliment.
Right. Sammy Plain instead of Sammy.
What I love about everybody on the indies right now, the same three guys make everybody's tights. Oh, who makes your tights? Oh, yeah, he's making mine too.
That is
true. How about you go do something different? Throw a bunch of shit at the wall and see what sticks. You know what I'm saying? Everyone does the same shit. And that's what I told my buddy Bandito Jr., who is an underrated lightweight. You know, have you seen Eddie Bandito Jr.?
Absolutely.
He moves like Grease Lightning. Very few guys who can move like him. Throw different shit at the wall, see what sticks. Stop doing the same match. Stop watching the same shit. And I don't know, come out in a fucking Halloween mask. Do something different. Try something. Try it out.
Different stands out.
Different stands out. Like everyone made fun of Tim Arson when he did Zombie, but you know what? He was on TV once. Yeah. I'm searching for an example.
He's everywhere.
Once. He made a whole career out of it.
He made an indie career out of all that, and he's on his. Everyone's like, oh, he's the shits. Yeah, guess what? He's on the poster, you moron.
Yeah.
He's
always booked.
It's just fact, you know?
Always booked.
So, not the best, always make it. Like, first time I saw Gene Snitsky, I'm like, he's going to be there. He wasn't good at first, but when I got to do those overseas tours with the Samoans, WXW, which was sweet, he worked with L.A. Smooth. L.A. Smooth, for those that don't know, is Samu's younger brother.
Yep. Yes.
He's part of the Samoan Gangsta Party. He worked with him every night on those tours. And L.A. Smooth, a lot of guys don't know, worked with Batista before you ever saw Batista on WWE TV. He's a guy that you work with and you learn, and then, okay, he's ready. Boom. There he is. So, but not everyone looks like Snitsky. He just, you look at Snitsky, he don't look like anybody else.
Yeah, that's true. Monster. That face.
And I thought I had
jaw. The jawline.
First of all, like my like,
and the acne.
I dig the feet just as much as any guy. But Snitsky, that is not a gimmick, man.
That's real life.
Not a gimmick.
Foot. I forgot about that towards the end.
First of all,
tours for the people that don't know.
All right, we did, and I like to think I'm Vince McMahon's guinea pig. All of us were. Because before, you know, they do the Iraq and the Afghanistan tours now, like every Christmas. This was April 2002, 6 months from the biggest work of all time, 9/11. And it was Egypt, Turkey. If we want to get in, there's so many facts. It's
agreed. 100%.
Egypt, Turkey, Bahrain, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan. And
Kazakhstan?
No. And we were supposed to go to Kazakhstan. I so wish
I did. It was too big.
Now. Kazakhstan, number one import of potassium.
Yes.
But we did
throw transport down the way.
Shut the fuck up, please. In April 2002.
Thank you.
Yes, please. And then in August 2002, we did South Korea,
my
Japan,
wife.
Which I didn't get to go to Ribera Steakhouse, which pissed me off. Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, which we got to see a different tour of Pearl Harbor. We saw the USS Utah, which Google it, because that was another ship that got destroyed in the other work, which got us into World War II.
Agreed.
We got to see a lot of cool shit. And you know where else we went? Guam. So whenever Bobby Heenan says, well, tell me about the egg deficit in Guam, I'm pop because I was in Guam. It's cool. That's the cool thing about wrestling. You get to do shit you never thought you'd fucking do.
Like, you think Hawaii's the middle of nowhere? Guam, there's, like, nothing.
First of all, you could drive from one end of Guam to the other in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
30 real minutes.
It's like Aruba, dude.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, we're
shit.
In the middle of nowhere in the water somewhere, and it's 30 minutes, so I'm on a piece of land this fucking big.
It's like...
The earth could just be like, fuck this shit. And I'm gone.
Now I'm here. Now I'm Guam.
And yeah, exactly. There you go.
Oh, bell.
Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
Ring that bell. Beautiful. You got a ref telling you to do it.
But, Kevin, as a comedian, Kevin, you should be just disappointed you didn't pull that one out.
I was looking up the USS Utah. I swear to God.
Dude, you're a semi-professional comedian? That's awesome.
Semi. Yep. Oh, you nailed it. I looked it up.
We got to see that ship. It's a sad ship. That was another sad part of it.
This show's a sad ship.
Fucking Guam. What the hell was I going to say about Guam before Mets interrupted me?
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I turned the fucking video camera on, and it came up dew. There's too much moisture in the air for me to film. I was so pissed because I wanted to show it all. But anyway, Samu was kind of the head of those tours. A guy named Tom Reeder, WWA. I don't know if he's still running shows. If he is, what's up, Tom?
WWA,
book me.
Yeah.
World Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah.
Cool guy, Tom Reeder. I don't know. I liked him. But Malia Hosaka was on him. Valentina, the first big rat of the Northeast independent wrestling scene. We're cool now, but we hated each other for years. The New Jersey Devil. Nuisance.
What? Oh my
shit.
God.
These are some old school names, huh? Cool guys. I haven't seen him in a while. What's up? Bill Anderson, who was a WWF job guy. He was our ring announcer, and he was cool as shit. But we did those two tours, and they were successes. And then Vince McMahon is going to Iraq every year on Christmas. And I'm like, wait a minute. We were guinea pigs to see if it would work.
No one died.
Send them. We got to fly in the C-17s. We were in Afghanistan. That's one thing I can say. I was the first referee that was in Afghanistan.
That's awesome.
Beat that. Huh?
That's awesome.
Beat that, Nick Patrick. Yeah. Beat that, Earl. Would you ever do Earl Hebner? Don't mention his resume. He's reffed a couple times.
He's reffed a couple times.
Couple matches.
I just don't like that fucking fake three count he always does.
The what?
Two, and then
the
fall.
Dude,
that takes me out of so much shit.
Well, you know why? Because we're spoiled now.
Yeah, but
as
the years go on, it seemed more and more dramatic. It's like, you don't need that, dude. Fucking Dick Kroll used to go 1-2 stop and then give you the two.
I have a cool, quick story about Dick Kroll. He came to a JP show in Rawway when AJ Styles wrestled Homicide, or Loki. Whatever, AJ Styles was wrestling on it. And he came to the show to meet AJ Styles. And I walked in, and I said hi. He was sitting on a bench with a couple of vendors and guys' mothers. And Dick Kroll blended it, because Dick Kroll still looks like Dick Kroll, but he's just old Dick Kroll.
Yeah.
So I walked, I was like, hi, hey. And I walked by Dick Kroll, I was like, hey. And I went, excuse me. And he started laughing. He goes, it's okay. And I was like, would you like to come to the back? It was a classic. It was Ref Hansen you never see, because I was like a humble son of a bitch.
Yeah.
This is Dick Kroll, I'm two, and he's reffing Bob Backlund versus Sheik. With the talent, you know what I'm saying?
And now you're right there.
He came to the back, and he was telling me stories when he ref for Pat O'Connor. He ref Pedro Morales against Bruno at Shea.
Damn.
Like, this is great. And I bought out AJ Styles. I went up to AJ. I was like, yo, Dick Kroll is here. And he's like, he just got off his flight. He's like, no, I'll say hi to him. I was like, no, the Madison Square Garden ref, he's here. And he's like, oh, where? And ran right out.
To him.
So that was fucking cool. And he's... I haven't seen him in a show in a while. I hope he's in good health. He's definitely not listening to this.
He was even older then when I remember watching
him. He looked older then.
Yeah, he did.
He tells Vince McMahon Sr. booked him for stuff. And I'm just like, wow, Vince Sr. booked you? Like, it's so...
How crazy is that?
You know, it's so generational. It's just so different. It's just crazy. And he told me that one of the first times he was booked at the Garden, Vince Sr. asked him if he could work a house show, and he's like, yeah, yeah, I got my stuff. It's right in the car. He ran down, went to the first store, got himself a striped shirt and a pair of slacks, and ran right back. So he... You know, part of it is right place, right time, but
right.
That's a guy that earned it.
That is a guy that earned it.
And he thought I was a good ref, so I'm putting that in my fucking pipe.
There you go.
I'm writing that in my book. Dick Kroll liked my shit.
That's a fucking honor.
That's pretty damn cool.
So what's Ref Hansen up to these days? Are you still working the indie scene?
I still do the indies when I can. There's not a lot out there. This was the hub. This area and Philadelphia was the hub from 02, I'd say 06. He was dying in 06. But House of Hardcore... Check them out. House of Hardcore, that phenomenal. Absolutely. Tommy Dreamer's hand in it. They're running again June 6th, June 7th at Poughkeepsie and Philly. Definitely shows to check out. Stacked. I have another cool story. I lost a bet to Danny Doring. I'll tell you that in a minute. Northeast Wrestling, check them out too. DCW, they run in the Pittsburgh area. They have legit TV because I've actually seen it. Like, unlike another fat ass.
All right. I don't think we're going to mention Bino Galuso anymore.
Yeah, that.
Gino shit his pants.
Did he die? I heard he died. Did he die?
No, he's still alive. I actually went to go see one of his shows last month. I took my kid.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Wait, are you punishing your kid?
No, it was simply for the fact that I know Gino shows don't run much longer or even close to 2 hours anymore. And it was right down the road.
In and out.
And I figure, you know, I didn't really talk to him. Actually, yeah. I didn't talk to him at all. But you know who worked the show?
Oh.
Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Johnson.
Phenomenal. Cool.
He was awesome, dude. He used to be on cable TV when I was a kid. Used to do a workout show on fucking Comcast down the road.
About, the Italian, but he had the American.
He was Rock Hard Rocky Jones. That was the name of the show. He would teach you how to do exercises at home to get in shape. And he would always be like, if you don't have weights, get a couple of cans of tomatoes. The fucker had cans of tomatoes, and he was doing curls with the tomatoes.
That's how The Rock became the Scorpion King.
Exactly.
Yes. In tomato cans. Phenomenal. Cool Jim Powers story about Rocky Johnson.
Oh, I love Jim Powers. Tell me a Jim Powers story. He's my favorite of all time.
Oh, God. Where to begin?
Kevin just came in his pants. I know. Jesus, he got really excited.
I could
excited.
Actually see it. Is that? That's really disturbing.
Nah, just go ahead.
It's a good load
Jim
right
Powers
there.
Told me. First of all, he's in immaculate shape.
Oh, yeah. We saw him back in October.
Maybe now. Last time I saw him.
No. This is years ago. I'm talking about.
No, we saw him in October, dude, at Legends.
I wasn't there. Oh, you saw him.
Yeah. He looked fantastic.
No one else saw him. No one else noticed him. But no, he still looks like Jim Powers. But he told me, he was telling me a bunch of stories because I'm like, we're mutual friends of Crowbar. And
Devin Storm.
He was at his house. It was a cookout one night, and I'm sitting there talking about Jim Powers, about old wrestling stuff. And he goes, "Oh yeah, I have tons of buddies like Rocky Johnson. Me and him used to travel the roads together. And he was about to have his kid, and you know he was going over some names. And I even threw out there. I said, "How about Dwayne? Why don't you name him Dwayne?" So I'm like, "Dwayne, this is when he." I looked up when Jim Powers debuted. It was 1983.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim Powers got in his DeLorean. Because The Rock was 9 years old at this time. So he went in his DeLorean 9 years in the past, told Rocky Johnson to name his kid Dwayne, and then fast-forwarded 9 years. So Rocky Johnson was told to name his kid Dwayne when Dwayne was nine by Jim Powers. So
there it is.
Yeah,
sounds about right.
He's a genius, that Jim Powers.
He is. No, that's Lanny Poffo.
Unless
he went back in time and gave Lanny Poffo his name.
I know, and Jim Powers, we would have at the cookouts, you know, you eat your potato salad and your macaroni salad and hot dogs, hamburgers, all this stuff. We would eat, and it would be 11:30. Jim Powers whips out this giant 8-foot protein bar and starts fucking eating at 11:30. We're just looking at him like what the fuck are you doing?
Charleston Chew.
Like, he needs it. I don't know. But there's no one like Jim Powers is another one that you wouldn't know this guy in real life. He's just, there's Paul. Think about it. Balls Mahoney, Tracy Smothers, Homicide. We wouldn't know any of these guys.
That's true.
If we didn't get into professional wrestling.
It's crazy. Right. It's a crazy world.
Tracy Smothers is another one you won't hear any bad shit about because he's batshit crazy and he will show up at your house.
And he's Italian.
First time I met him, I heard all these stories about Tracy Smothers that he's nuts and all this. And I'm like, all right. I never met him. I met him. He did JAP a couple times. And I went up to him. He's like, oh, hey, I'm Sean. Ref Hansen. But he goes, okay, and he shook his head, and he shook my hand the old school wrestler way.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh my god! Like, what was that? That was I don't even know how to describe that." Okay, and he looked at me like he was scared shitless of me, and I'm like, "Maybe he's ripping me. I don't know what the deal is."
Just but out of his mind.
He's awesome, and he should be in the Hall of Fame. I would love to hear him do a Hall of Fame speech for WWE.
Oh my
that
god,
that would be because you can't book that one.
That would be epic.
That one ain't
That'd
happening.
Be amazing.
Which I saw, and I like. And this guy's a legit shoot friend of mine. I'm not one of these idiots on Facebook that says, oh, so happy for my boy, Daniel Bryan, that made WrestleMania. No, first of all, he's not your boy. You know him, you're buddies, but you don't fucking talk to him and text him every day like all these idiots that say they do. But Mick Foley is a friend of mine. We don't keep in touch. We don't text each other. But when we see each other, we talk. I expected more at his Hall of Fame speech. I just saw it for the first time 2 nights ago.
Right.
I thought it'd be a lot better. Do you guys agree? Disagree?
Didn't he do the whole Jericho thing?
He did, but I thought it'd be funnier than it was. I don't know.
They probably give the guys some direction on what they can and can't say.
First of all, no one's just better than Bobby Heenan. But Bret Hart's, I thought, was great, too. He actually didn't whine. Actually, he did whine.
He whined a little bit.
I was expecting a lot more out of the Mick Foley. I don't know. Maybe I just be.
You know who whined a lot? Vern Gagne whined. He seemed so like he wanted to shit
you
on
know
the
why?
Man something terrible.
Because Vince is like, I'm inducting you into my Hall of Fame.
And then Greg had a job for like all of like 2 weeks after that. And then they're like, then they released Greg.
Well, let's see. Vince raided his roster, you know. Ended
put him out
it.
Of business.
I actually liked Greg when he was with Brunzel. Not going to lie about that.
The High Flyers. They were
they
a good
were,
team.
Yeah. Greg weren't bad, was, man.
Greg didn't really have an it factor, but Greg was smooth. Like he was crisp. He knew how to execute.
But you saw him once and you were done.
Yeah.
And it sucks because he knows a lot more about wrestling than I do. And I'm not sure, but there's some guys that just don't. You know, I've seen him already.
Yeah, I don't care to see you again.
Like Michael O'Brien is a guy. He would always ask me because I live next to Newark Airport. He always runs shows in Connecticut. He's like, hey, would you mind taking so and so to the airport? People think that's a stooge thing to do. I'm like, no, this is how you learn stuff.
Yes.
This is how you hear stories. So I say yes every time. And one of them was Piper, which was the greatest 2 hours. And another one was Funk, which was awesome. I'll get that. We're talking about Piper, and I asked Piper, who you think is, you know, who's your favorite? And he's like, basically, The Undertaker. He goes, The Undertaker's the only guy that shows me something different every time. He's been in the WWE for 24 fucking years, and you're not bored of him.
True.
Think about that shit. And that's the only title in wrestling that means anything. The Undertaker streak at WrestleMania, and they backed into it. I think you can make the belts great again. They don't mean shit to me right now.
They don't.
Edge is an 11-time champ. Triple H is a 45-time champ.
Everyone's a
double-digit
champ.
Jack Swagger's a 2-time champ, if that makes anyone want to
throw out there. That 2-time in the
book. Makes absolutely
no sense. I like The Miz, when he did Tough Enough, showed up with Al Snow, came up to me, was like, Ref Hansen, and said, he knew who I was, I like The Miz.
That's why I like The Miz, man. The Miz is such a great fucking guy.
I've heard shit.
I was so happy when he fucking main evented Mania.
I've heard shitbag stories. I look at it as John Cena versus The Miz, that's probably the worst WrestleMania main event ever.
Of all time.
It just is. The Rock shit on it.
I was going to ask you, if you thought it was because of The Rock's
involvement. I thought The Rock was sitting there. Maybe he wasn't shit, but The Rock is just sitting there. I think he had his chin on his forearm, like, watch me open a promo at Mania, change the finish of the main event, and then cost the guy the finish.
Well, that was all
over The Rock.
That was 2 years of booking, though, man. They had that shit all planned out. The one thing they actually had foresight to do, but then they wind up forgetting about it between the years.
Oh, yeah, because there's so much shit to
keep. It was like this last WrestleMania. It was everything CM Punk, 400 days, blah, 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 who had to take a backseat to Cena the whole year. And then all of a sudden, it was fast forward. Rock comes back, beats him at the Rumble, and then, it leads right back to Cena.
And then it was Punk Taker, which...
which we said was the match of the...
I guess.
That's what you said.
But as compared to the rest of it,
I'm
going to
break
shit.
One of these things and slice his throat right now because that was reminding me that I put Punk over. Punk, you're lucky. But
that's not saying much compared to the rest of that show.
It just wasn't any good, man.
No, it was no good.
They left early. Did we have this conversation?
Yes, we did.
We did. Yeah. And they lucked out with the weather, too. It was pretty decent.
Yeah, it rained for like the Miz match. And then it stopped. It
Every
was cool,
indie
but it
guy
was
in the
right.
world went there and put up 100 pictures of them in it and used it as their default picture.
We had great weather for that, but this winter was the fucking shits. How did that happen?
Mother Nature short clotheslined us, man. She's like, watch me fuck with all of you. Global warming, suck on these tits because I'm going to show you what I can do.
You with the tits tonight.
I love tits.
Speaking of short clothesline, Jake Roberts' speech might be fucking
That
amazing.
Could be epic. I did a show with him in October for, again, Northeast Wrestling. And at the beginning of the show, he texted Dallas, Diamond Dallas Page, here. End of the night, texted him. So he's...
Accountability,
like
bro.
See, the running joke among the boys was that DDP was going to come home one night from, you know, going to the grocery store to get groceries. And he was going to come home to an empty house with a razor and an open snake bag just laying there with a note. I was just waiting for that, but or maybe a toothpick. But no, what DDP did for Jake and Scott Hall, it worked, I guess.
Amazing, it's amazing. Just,
you think he did it for them or to benefit what he's doing?
Because first of all, one thing about DDP, he's not looked at as one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And maybe he shouldn't be because there's just so many better than him. I'm not saying he was a shit. But
no, of course not.
He just worked very hard.
Worked amazingly hard, but he never forgets the guys that helped him. You hear him in interviews today. He puts Dusty Rhodes over.
Piper.
He puts Piper over. He puts Savage over. He puts all these guys over. So I like that he doesn't forget.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a certain skinny guy with tape around his wrists. Maybe you don't hear him say that shit. I'm on that DVD, by the way. So, Vince McMahon, I'm going to throw my address out there. You can send me my royalties because I'm on that Best of the World DVD.
Good Lord.
Yeah,
Best of the World.
From Ring of Honor the first year.
First year. It was Joe. And this is another thing. Oh, a bitter, angry Hansen got fired from Ring of Honor. Let me tell you this little story about that. It was Samoa Joe, CM Punk. You guys watched Ring of Honor back then?
Yeah, yeah.
They had a best of three series. This guy's getting up again. He cannot sit fucking still. Can't do it. Can't be done. You guys can't see it at home. He's walking around. He's shaking his ass in my face.
He diverted the story from what he was talking about to something actually happening in studio. So
okay.
Just because they thought you were still talking about Samoa Joe and CM Punk.
No, Samoa Joe, CM Punk had a best of three series. I ref the first one. It was an hour long. A legit hour. A great match. Gabe wanted me to take the cop killer, Homicide's finish, in that ring.
Fuck that move.
I'm getting $50 to drive to Dayton, Ohio. Did I mention that? That's what I'm saying.
You did?
So, in Dayton, Ohio, we used the old WCW ring, which was about a boxing ring with a layer of concrete on top of it. It was the hardest fucking ring ever. Lord, which I respect Joe and Punk, all the guys that worked in that ring, but that they did an hour in that shit. Anyway.
And real quick, for those of you that don't know what the cop killer is, that's what Hurricane used to use also.
The Vertebreaker. Yeah. And Gory Guerrero special used to be called.
Yeah.
It's you have to be a skinny, agile motherfucker to take it. Like,
you gotta know when to fucking tuck that chin.
Because I've heard guys, BJ Whitmer severely hurt his sternum. And Homicide is... People think he's nuts. He's a safe guy. Maybe the best all-around wrestler I've ever ref for because he can do every single... And that's not because he's one of my best friends. He is. But he can do... Homicide, I need a hardcore match. All right. I need a catch can match. Okay. I need a tag match. All right. I need you to be Michael Myers for me. He can do it all. He legit can fucking do it all. And people don't know that about him. But anyway, I did that match. I said no to the cop killer. I was like, you know, Gabe, if I can get a little bump in pay... And he gave me shit. He goes, oh, you want to bump and pay? Just forget it. Forget the whole thing. Have to take it. And I'm like, wow, like, fuck. Because I was caught in it. I watched Allison Danger hurt her neck. For some reason, she took it. I watched Moff take it.
That's
he
one of the scariest moves.
D gave homicide gave it to Loki, hurt his neck. He was never the same after that. And I'm just like, shit, I was skinnier then than I was now. I was 150 maybe, 140. So at the end of it, homicide gives me Lariat and then beats up Joe. Whatever. But the second time was October of that year. Again, we're not getting flown out. There's no Sinclair broadcasting to pay my rental car receipts, which is fine that they do it now. It was another double shot Dayton in Chicago. I would have been the ref for it. I had to call Gabe. I can't go because I have to work at my real job. And my Dodge Spirit, 92 Dodge Spirit, which I drove at the time, wasn't going to make it there. So Todd Sinclair, Fat Pants, got the match. And then when it came time for the third match, they asked Joe or Punk, which one do you want? Oh, just give me the last ref.
Wow.
Which I'm sure Punk, because at this time me and Punk were button heads. I'm sure Punk was like, him, not him. Because that's the power these motherfucking people have.
That's
and people don't get it. So, no, it wasn't that I was a great ref. It's because I didn't have the fucking money to get out there, which is fine. Fat Pants St. Clair was, he's an old guy. He's 29 now. 29 then. He's like in his 40s now.
Yeah.
He had a job where he got frequent flyer miles from his job and he flew himself everywhere, which is smart, you know.
Right.
It's an asset he had, which is fine. But that's the inside story on that. So
interesting.
It's not because I suck. It's not because of my big mouth.
It usually
if I drove out there.
Someone sucks. It's usually because something else happens behind the scenes.
That's why Paul London, every time he comes, I hug him like I hug a fucking long lost cousin because we just sit around and talk about Punk stories and talk about old Ring of Honor stories and shit on Xavier. It's awesome.
Shit on Xavier.
Paul London is great. He's a fucking outstanding human being. I just want to say that for the record. You should have. Have you ever had him on here?
We had Kendrick.
If you can get him together. Please let me just sit Indian style on the floor.
Apparently,
I just want to listen.
London is hard to get
There's been several emails back and forth with London. There's just London. No.
You heard the inside scoop first. Whole ref and show got it for you. There's been emails back and forth. Mets hat said it. So it's fucking true. No, you got to get him on here. He's fucking
I would love
awesome.
To have Paul London on here.
He's outstanding.
Huge London guy.
Definitely. And real quick, another reason why I think wrestling sucks today. I'm just pulling this fucking topic out of my ass. You know what I fucking hate? When a girl and a guy get in a ring and wrestle each other.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
What I want to do is bring a sign that says, this shit is fake, and hold it up when I ref, when a girl wrestles a guy. Because you don't see the WNBA girls playing the fucking Lakers, Knicks, Celtics, or Nets, do you? You don't see the fucking LPGA join the PGA. It would be awful. You don't fucking see it. And again, we're not sports, we're sports entertainment. But I ref the match, and I'm not shitting on these four. They're buddies of mine. Missy Sampson and Latin Dragon, who love Steel Panther. Feel the Steel. Steel Panther, greatest band ever. Huh?
Yes.
Anyone
know?
I'm in.
Follow
I'm in.
At Steel Panther on Twitter.
I'm in Death to All Butt Metal.
Oh! Fucking great. Asian Hooker. That's going to be my wedding song.
Eating Ain't Cheating.
Eating Ain't Cheating. Fact, a girl from Oklahoma.
Nice.
We go all night tomorrow night. You know, phenomenal. Anyway, Latin Dragon and Missy Sampson against Niles Young and a girl who I think, if she changed her look and would just fucking listen... Kimberly, you know who that is?
Yes. Yes.
I think she can be signed, and I think she could be a fucking star in wrestling. She just needs to. She wears kick pads and dark colors. Maybe she should wear some light colors.
Doesn't eat salads.
Bring her out. And, what? Short clothesline. I call it short clothesline. But fucking, they opened up, and Kimberly locks up with Latin Dragon. And I looked right there. I said, okay, this sucks immediately. Because now as young, Kimberly's gimmick is their boyfriend-girlfriend.
Right.
Would you let your girlfriend go fight the guy? No,
no.
You wouldn't do it. You know, you
wouldn't. I would.
And
whatever.
Then Kimberly tags Niles, and then the other one tags Missy. So Missy Sampson wrestles Niles. And I'm like, and they asked me how the match was. And I'm like, are you sure you want me to tell you? I don't think we're going to be friends anymore if you want me to tell you. And I did. And therefore, you know, they know what they're doing. But I cut them off. I'm like, I wouldn't do that shit.
Right.
Guy versus girl doesn't work. First of all, teaching a girl how to wrestle is like teaching a dog not to piss in the house. But the last thing you want is a guy versus... do you give a fuck about the Intercontinental belt anymore?
No.
I think they ruined it, but when China won it... I was like, China won it? She won it? I would fucking suck China's fake boobs. I think she's the hottest motherfucking Amazon I've ever seen in my life,
wow.
Batman. No reason to say any of that, but I'm just saying the leather and the... Oh, yeah. But when she won the Intercontinental belt... I died a little inside.
Oh,
that was
you.
Rough.
Fuck.
That was rough.
Well, ref, we gotta wrap this up. We gotta.
But I have so much more I want to talk about.
I know.
I'm gonna ask Mets hat stuff.
That's me. That means you get to come back.
Yeah. No, we're definitely gonna have you back. We're gonna work it out.
Only if you remember my name.
No, you're Mets hat. That's your new fucking name.
All right, real quick before we wrap up, you have anything you want to plug? Your Twitter, your Facebook, anything? Where can they find you next?
Why
any...
is this ending now?
Pay
me.
We gotta end, dude.
To all the promoters out there in the indies, pay me, book me, top dollar at refhanson123 on Twitter, Facebook. I'm what am I? Wacky Wiggins now.
Wacky
I changed
Wiggins,
my shit,
yeah.
But
I didn't
no
know
legit.
Who you were at first.
That's who you are.
Wacky Wiggins. I had to change it because my real life, I can't have my real name.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
I just followed you.
And Instagram, I'm refhanson123. I got rid of Wiggins. But check out DCW in Pittsburgh. Check out House of Hardcore. Check out NortheastWrestling.com, UWA in New Jersey. Check out the Indies, man, because Indies may not be the same, but it's still the bloodline of pro wrestling. That's where everyone gets their stars. And WWE and TNA might not be what we love, but we're all going to watch Mania. Keep fucking supporting wrestling, man.
Support
this is
wrestling.
The most
That's
different
believe,
shit
man.
In the world. I can hate it and shit on it forever, but what am I doing tonight? WWE Network, world-class Von Erich's Iron Claw.
Yes,
goddamn
sir.
Right. Fucking A.
You've Holy been listening shit. To Ref Hansen on The Shining Wizards, our second show for the week.
Booyakash.
We got one more to go. Who's in? Who are we talking to in studio on Sunday?
Sunday we have Pat Buck.
Buck rhymes with another word.
Fuck, duck, suck.
I was going to say duck, you
Should I end with quack
bastard.
Like a duck?
Luck.
Bro, that guy was on fucking Tosh.0 last night, that stupid video.
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
Can you quack
like a duck?
Can you quack like a duck? One of the guys I work with was telling me about
suck.
It. But that could be a whole other show.
Ref Hansen,
we
thank
gotta
you
have you back, Hansen.
So much. We will
Sweet,
definitely
man.
Have you
this
back.
This is fucking fun. Let's
thank
do it again.
Definitely,
Absolutely.
Man. Thank you so much.
Be good, everybody.
Give me now.
We'll talk to you Sunday.
Eat a bag of baby dicks.
Here comes. When you suck, can you buck like a horse when we fuck? Can you take every inch off your butt? Can you shit on my chest for good luck?
you quack? Can you quack like a duck when you suck? Can you fart on my balls when we fuck? Can you stick your whole tongue on my butt? Can you shit on my chest for good luck? Can you quack? Can you quack like a duck when you suck? We're old enough, suck, give it a fuck. Jake, cute enough to where I wanna knock you up. And if you swallow it, you suck it, you take it up the butt. Now I might keep around long enough, plus nine. Up. All I really want to do is fuck you in the butt. Then you turn around and then you suck it up. I'm going to put it in my butt. Take it up the butt, I might keep it around.